101.7 WJFK, Manassas, Washington, D.C.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once per 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
I am fed up of your hissy attitude. You resigned publicly in front of them. I think this lot here are sick to death of you. I'll decide whether we want you back in this competition in 30 minutes. I don't want to hear any more from you.
Yep. Such devotion. I know, you wait the whole weekend to hear the show. And then
it's been playing in my head all morning. Yep.
It's got to suck to be you, the listener. You're out there waiting for the show all weekend. Uh-huh. And finally, there it is, noon, 3 o'clock, whatever time you're hearing it. And instead, it's this song again.
It's a party.
But this part coming up right here, I think you'll love it as much as we do. Please listen.
I love driving home with Dawn and Mike.
Oh, yeah.
They simply make my day more bright. And no matter if my wife...
You know, there is something about it.
I know. As embarrassed as I am to say, you're absolutely right about that.
It's like Kathy Lee.
I ain't going back till I'm finished with a show.
Oh. I know I'm going way back in time, but it was like the same thing with Kathy Lee.
Yeah.
God, she's such a C. Kathy C. Gifford. Well, why do you watch her every day? Well, I guess because I would really like to bang her.
I never. Well, for you, that was true. You there was something about her you liked. I love to hate her. That's why I liked watching her.
That's right.
I enjoyed hating her. You hated her, too, but you wanted to have sex with her.
Only if I could duct tape her.
Right.
I mean, her mouth. So
right.
She could not speak.
No talking.
Her mouth.
Mouths.
Let's go back to Johnny. Yanni.
That's his new nickname.
Yo.
Y-A-N-N-I.
Hi, Yanni.
Hello.
All right. Explain to everybody why the website is now easier to navigate. DonandMikeWebsite.com.
We rid ourselves of a pesky hosting service that we had before. It's gone.
So we've got a new faster server.
New faster server. Oh. Try to streamline things a little bit. Fewer clicks to get to the daily log and the audio highlights.
Good.
And now I noticed you just click on the highlight and it just starts right away.
Correct.
That's good.
And as a matter of fact, you can right-click and download these things and save them and put them onto your iPod, your very own self.
Cool. Now, how much porn can you access through the site now?
About as much as before.
Why? I thought you were revamping it.
Oh, I'm sorry. We didn't check on... I didn't know we needed a porn link.
The porn is on the... All of the porn is on the link to Mike's restaurant.
Right.
Look around the cafe.
Well, to me, that's just an extra step you need to go through.
That's just a pain. And John will actually be answering emails now.
Oh, good.
So put up a section on the site. If you have something that needs to be addressed for the entire group, I will answer it and put it up there for everyone to read.
And now that we've got this new super-duper server, you can actually... And I know this is nothing new to anyone. Anybody else, but to us, it's fantastic. You can actually answer the emails during the show.
Yep, and as a matter of fact, we will check after the first commercial break, but I also hope to be able to put recaps up during the show.
Another question.
Yes.
Will it be easier to purchase merchandise?
Of course.
Good. Excellent. Those are the only two questions I had.
You wouldn't want to make it hard.
One good answer, one bad answer.
Where's the porn and how do you find the store?
Yeah, so the answer is no porn and the store is better.
Okay. Go to the porn store.
Okay.
We can get a link for that.
All right, see ya. Thank you, Johnny.
All right, guys.
Bye!
Very good.
Cool. And if there ever was a place called the porn store, they should hire that crazy hyperactive bitch who does the commercials for the room store.
Yes. Very good idea.
Yeah. You know, that little, she's like... A combination of Kathy Rigby and Kathy Griffin.
Yes, yeah, she is. And uglier than both of them, believe it or not, if that's possible.
Just as annoying as the day is long.
I find her elfin-like.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Yeah, that's super. How's the Monday treat you, my friend? God, first day of a big 5-day work week. I'll tell you how I break it down. Let's break it down together.
Right. Break it down, Don.
Right, now Monday's the day you get it. You do the drudge work. And it's the worst day.
Back to work. Everybody's in a bad mood. Do you ever find that everyone's in a bad mood on Monday?
That's why I advocate just have a little something something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
It's very easy now to go to even your higher classes like William Sonoma, buy yourself a nice flask.
Sure.
What you want to do is put that in your desk, you get through Monday. Then you get to Tuesday, and here's
same
the
same as Monday, only a day later.
However, Tuesday, you have hump day to look forward to all day.
Which I know you and I have always said is a cause for celebration.
Hump day, say no more, my friend. And then you're into Thursday, and by then you are making your weekend plans. Uh-huh. And Friday, hell, it's a 5 o'clock world, Jack. By Friday, you're getting laid, you're riding horses.
We recommend highly.
You're playing on fire trucks, shooting off fireworks.
On Friday, you take the day off.
That's it.
If you can, really, get off the roads.
You wake up Monday morning, sometime between 4 and 7 a.m.,
yeah.
Surrounded by various dried pools of various things that have come out of your body.
That's right.
You smell worse than the inside of Allen Iverson's sneaker after a hot game. Your breath, oh my God, you're tasting yourself and you're thinking, how can I possibly even be alive?
Exactly. How can I make it through the day?
So the first thing you do, you go to the old hair of the dog.
H-O-T-D.
That's how you start your Monday morning.
There's a siren, and let's take this opportunity to salute those who serve.
So it's Monday, and the way we look at it here on the DNM Showgram, we're only 4 days away from countdown party time Friday. Let's not think about Monday. Let's think about Friday.
That's right. At least it ain't raining here.
So, Mike, Don.
Yes. Yes.
The reason I called it is I wanted to bring to your attention, I'm a longtime listener, and that song was bothering me just like it was bothering Don, that he had heard it before, that there's something to it.
Sure.
And it dawned on me today as you were playing it. I remember way back when you used to have a contest where the listeners used to sing songs and make
the jingle contest, right?
Sure, homemade jingles, right?
And there was a guy, I don't know if he had a Japanese accent or whatever, but the riff is a lot like that one he had, and I can't remember how it went. But it dawned on me.
You are the storyteller. Honestly, God.
Thank you, Garrison Keillor, checking
Jesus.
In.
Jesus, come back to us when English is your first language.
Thank you very much.
And the guy, Japanese. Happy birthday.
Ernie Hemingway checking in.
The songs are similar.
Little Ernie. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. Were you ever breastfed with a Rolling Stone tattoo on the breast?
You know, we hadn't discussed that early image on The Sopranos. No, last night.
Let's save The Sopranos.
Yeah.
I know this is
do enjoy. Thanks,
thank
guys.
Thank you. Everybody's got all the same stuff you've already heard, except with our spin.
Right
on The Sopranos. Shock for you. We're going to start today with Greg Gillespie,
really?
and not because, and I mean we'll do the laughing place and play the song and everything.
Sure, of course.
Not because. It's our goal every day to make this program director look like an idiot.
No.
He's going out of his way to do things. He spent some time at Mike's joint over the weekend. And Mike has a detailed report from the manager of his restaurant
on
all of the things that Gillespie did.
I asked my managing partner to put together. This is exactly what I said to him last night. I said, listen, you seem to have a lot of stuff here. Drop me a little email. This email contains 19 points.
Wow.
There it is, Buzz.
That's quite a lot.
You can see it.
That's a wordy email.
This is, I like to call this the story of Greg Gillespie at the restaurant. Now, I was at the restaurant when he was there. I spent about maybe 90 seconds with him.
Uh-huh. And all I would like to say on this issue is, before we say anything about this dude,
yes.
In all seriousness, he can get as drunk as he wants. He can get as drunk as he wants on a kid having near beer.
Mm-hmm.
He's not Mike's boss.
Well, that's not what he said, apparently.
Well, I know many times I'm jumping ahead here.
Right.
What he needs to do is get out our contract
mm-hmm.
and read the part that says, you have no input. Okay, really.
Right.
I mean, dude, seriously. You're going to find, I mean, Mike's going to kid about this later, about this whole, you know, I'm Michael Bearer's boss.
Well, I kid, but I mean, this is a fact. This is what I was told. I am going to be giving you all these points that were thoughtfully written down by my managing partner, who is going to, it's very detailed. It's really, you know what it's like? Because when I said, Saturday night, I said to Jeff, I said, just kind of keep your eye on this guy.
Yeah.
Just watch him and observe. I didn't know that we'd need this on Monday. And I'm not responsible for it.
19 points.
It's great.
Greg Gillespie. You know, seriously, dude. I mean, let's not go down this road. I dare you. Order us to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Even the most mundane thing, just order it. I guarantee it will not happen.
Hello.
Now, not only do we have, and I'm really lowballing the stuff about him.
Mm-hmm.
To let Mike read you the dossier that was prepared.
It's going
to
be easy because I've got it's so wonderful to have this. He's got a file now.
I can't wait.
We also have received via Buzz, and thank you, Buzz.
Certainly.
Who's feeling better today?
Yes, much better.
Very good. You. And your percentage is?
I would say 98%.
Very good.
I see you marked 10 off that, and you probably got the truth. The Process and Practice of Radio Programming, a book that was actually written by this D-bag.
Mm-hmm. And another person.
Right.
Yeah, the guy. Hey, Mike O'Mara's boss.
Hey, what's Mike O'Mara's boss?
An author.
I'm Mike O'Mara's boss. How are you? Hi. I'm still alive, please. I'm Mike O'Mara's boss.
Maker's Mark, done.
Maker's Mark whiskey, please.
Hi, after, Mike O'Mara's boss.
It's after the wine. Thank you.
Well, sure, you want to warm
it's
up.
It's all on paper.
That's right.
Good.
Got it right. Documented. Here.
Got it right.
And I don't want to jump ahead here, but
well, now don't take away the big surprise.
Now, do you mean about the?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I won't. That's the high point.
Okay. I won't.
You got to build up to that
because I got a question about that.
Okay.
Okay. Now I'm gonna just Mike. I'm gonna play a game of charades with Mike.
Very good.
Here.
All right. Okay.
Now you don't have to guess audibly.
Right.
But
right.
Haven't you noticed that he?
Yes. That was my understanding.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Either you or I or somebody had said that.
Thank you. Okay, well then.
Somebody had said
then
that.
Then we're going to address that.
But you know what?
Fantastic.
It makes no never mind to me.
Or to me.
Because the facts stand alone.
Okay.
Wow.
Great. Very good.
If that's, you know, if that's the situation.
Very good.
We didn't make that bet.
So we've got his, if you pardon the pun, we've got his book.
Uh-huh.
And at some point here, after we get done tooling on him a little bit, I'll just read you some of the beginning stuff. Like, where, what is radio programming? Call Me Up in Dreamland.
Uh-huh.
The Role of Programming in Radio.
Good.
Focusing Your Programming Snapshot. We'll find
it's a textbook.
We'll
yes,
find
it
one
is.
Of these
wow.
Just ridiculous. The guy's our program director.
It's very, very exciting.
It's nuts. It's just freaking nuts.
All of a sudden, there's a lot of them.
You idiot. You stupid idiot.
Hello, Bernard.
Stupid idiot.
Bernard. Dolomite? Oh, I don't know if they're on or not. Come on to my ranch.
Here's my weekend. Oh, and I would just want to tell any of the nerds that were waiting for the Batman suit.
Yes.
I decided against it today, and I'll tell you why.
Oh.
The temperature here in D.C. right now, it's gorgeous. It's 87.
Yes. Yeah. Getting ready to change, incidentally.
I spent, it's going to be cooler tomorrow, but right now it's hot as hell outside.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah.
I spent an ungodly amount of money, by anybody's standards, to buy this Batman cape and cowl.
Yes, you did.
The one that's, because I'm such a fag, the one that's just like the one that Adam West wore on the show.
Right.
And you should know what this thing, this is something I really have wanted my whole life.
Of course. You've wanted this cowl.
The cowl.
More than the cape. The cowl is what you really wanted.
You know, I go back to the episodes of Batman where the bad guys would try to get his cowl.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they would never actually try to figure out that he was Bruce Wayne. All the Mad Hatter ever really wanted was Batman's cowl.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I always wanted it. So now I got one. I'm not going to wear it. I don't wear it around my house. I'm going to have a nice plexiglass box built for it.
Uh-huh. It's going to be a collectible.
Put it on the...
will it be a display case where you will be able to take it out at will?
Oh, yeah, but it's one of those things I'm not going to take out a lot.
Yeah, no, right. Of course not. Only especially, for special occasions.
Yeah. Well, like, never, okay? It's just going to be there.
You're not going to... You will be at home and take it out occasionally.
However, here's the point.
Uh-huh.
Because it's custom-made, and I paid... Godfrey would kill me. I paid too much for it.
Uh-huh.
What I don't want to do is put it on under the hot lights in here today when it's hot, and then go outside and run around and get it all Get all sweaty and oogie.
No, I don't blame you. I mean, this is going to be, this is a highly unusual day in mid-March for the Washington, D.C. area. And it is
silk.
It's really like in the upper 70s, low 80s.
It was 87 when I was coming in today.
Yeah.
Wow.
87. Yeah, because when the sun comes out, it shoots up. It's very humid.
A new record.
So anyway, I'll do that at some point this week.
Good.
My weekend, before we actually start the show, I can take this in the pre-show.
Oh. Yes.
I had to go out of town to do some biz for the show and had the opportunity to spend the night in a major American city and had the opportunity, because the stuff was done by Saturday, had the opportunity by the day on Saturday, had the opportunity to spend Saturday evening at a Hyatt Regency, which is kind of the showplace hotel in this American city that I was in.
Usually do real well with a Hyatt.
Yeah. Yeah, no, great hotel. They had a sports bar in the hotel.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So I was alone in this strange city.
Right.
It was like 8 o'clock Saturday night. I got, our business is done. I'm done. I'm going to go down to the bar. So I go down to the bar, and I notice a couple of great things that happen. Now, I didn't get involved in each of these situations, but I just observed and enjoyed.
Very good.
At one point, there's this woman. Now, I wouldn't call her a cougar because she was pretty well put together.
Hmm.
She appeared to be in her mid-40s and didn't have that haggard Mac Davis, I've been smoking and drinking all my life look to her face.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So she's just sitting at the bar, and there's a chair next to her. I'm sitting at the stool, the big stool.
The big stool.
To her left.
Okay.
The big stool to her right is open.
I see.
She makes no conversation with me. I'm really in no mood to have a conversation with anybody. I just, want to have a drink and then get the hell out of there. So a guy walks over. And, guys are so easy to pick out when they are walking around like Ron Burgundy aroused.
Yes.
And this guy did. This is a guy who had to be in his, mid-50s.
Mm-hmm.
Like
appears to be on the prowl.
CEO type.
Right.
Okay. Ah. He's got the feathered back hair. He's got the salt and pepper thing going on.
Right.
He's like, like Race Bannon walking in, like, hey, here I am, the man among men.
Manicured Ryan Seacrest fingernails.
Now he's an older dude,
yeah.
And he looks around, and I'm watching him. I have nothing else to do. I watch the guy. He's actually checking out everybody in the room, and he's seeing, like, I see him go over by the jukebox,
okay.
Where he gets shut out by a couple of chicks that are standing there.
Oh, like, so he's really like being aggressive.
Like in their 20s, yes.
On the prowl.
He is obviously in from out of town.
How's he dressed? Is he dressed in a suit?
For a conference of some type. No, he has on a Burberry. I mean,
okay, yeah, I understand.
He's got like preppy but nice clothes on.
All right.
And I notice he doesn't have a wedding ring on,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Sure.
I notice these things. Mm-hmm. I mean, what else are you going to do? So I see him walk around, and he strikes out with a couple of chicks in the jukebox. Then he comes over, and he does two times around the circular bar until he finally thinks that this cougar that's sitting next to me is his best possible option.
Okay.
So he saddles up.
What would you estimate the age of the cougar to be?
I'd say in her mid to late 40s.
Okay.
And a good-looking woman.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I mean, all things considered, didn't look to me like she'd had anything done to her.
Okay.
She was kind of natural.
Mm-hmm.
No wedding ring.
Right.
Okay. So he sits down, and right away he says, "Hi there, Jack Ellis." And she says,
like he gives the name right off the bat. That's not good.
That's how I remember it. The guy said, "Hi there, Jack Ellis."
That's not in the book, How to Pick Up Chicks.
Now, the guy is just, he's obviously he's taking his Viagra. He's come down from his room. He's one of these. He's ready for it.
Yeah.
So he says,
taking his Viagra.
Jackie. And she says, her name is what? My name is Stupita. And
so you're getting a floor show.
Right. Now, hold on, because this gets much better. This guy is so awkward. He says, "What are you having?" And she's, wine, pizza, and he says, "Do us back up over here."
"Hey, same here. And when I head over there, yeah, get it over here, yeah.
He says, "That is a beautiful sweater." I mean, with that amount of enthusiasm.
Overdone, way overdone.
And she says, this thing?
This old rag.
He says, "I've got to tell you. I've walked in this place. I'm from out of town. I'm blah, 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 from Detroit."
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm in town. I walked in. I must say, "Your radiance." The guy starts with, your beauty lights up this place.
Oh, shut up.
She pulls out her Winston 100 or whatever it is.
Sure.
He, you know, he's right there with the Bic, but it's like a fancy Bic that looks like a cowboy boot.
Mm-hmm.
Because it goes with his turquoise jewelry. Did I mention that?
Oh, he's got that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So he lights this and he sits down, and I don't think anything of this because it looks like he's getting somewhere with her, and they're just making small talk, and it's mainly just about what a great guy this guy is.
Right.
Okay. What a champion of industry he is. And you can tell when a guy is just, like, all he's doing is saying, finish your drink, I'm in room 518, why don't we go up and screw? Now, as it turns out, he doesn't even put the moves on. The guy, and I was a witness, he doesn't do anything. He's had a conversation with her. He's told her she's pretty.
Right.
He's told her that he likes her sweater, blah, blah, blah. A third guy walks up behind this guy, okay, and leans in between this guy and the woman and grabs one of the glasses that is sitting in front of the woman. There's about four glasses in front of the woman. This guy, you know, Mr. Slicky Boy, turns around and says, excuse me? And he says to her, you know, Billy Joe, Patricia, Betty, Lou, whatever you name it, are you ready to go? And she says...
Oh, so the guy that leans in is obviously with her.
Yes. Now, she says, oh, I feel so bad. I feel like I've led you on. Jack, this is my husband, Ed.
Oh,
now,
boy. So turquoise jewelry man is...
Hold on.
Put back.
Hold on. Now, at this point, all this guy Jack should have said was, it was very nice meeting you, and he should have walked away.
Perfect. Yeah, that's what you do in that situation.
Because the husband was doing nothing. The husband just stuck his arm in there and got his drink and said,
like,
you know...
Like any husband would do.
Said, you know, hey, Bobby Sue, are you ready to go? So, I'm just at the next stool. And then the guy says, Jack says... You know, I just want to say, before I walk away, this is as he's settling up his bill and he's putting the money down. He says, I bought you a drink. I may have even ordered you a second drink. Not that it really matters, but I should mention that, you know, you never said to me that you're married. And she said to him, it never came up that I'm married. We didn't have any discussions about that.
Yeah.
You're a guy sitting at a bar, and he should have left because I saw the other guy just getting madder and madder. The husband was getting madder and madder.
Well, as I would too.
Now,
wow.
At this point, this guy Jack, who just will not walk away, says,
"But she's obligated to tell him she's married."
What? Here's his point. He wants her to pay for the drink.
Oh, my God.
Wow. He said that he said, I've been sitting
here. Did he appear like he may have had cocktails prior to coming
in? No, he had announced to everybody that he had been at, there was like a sports bar,
okay.
There was a disco bar.
Okay,
next
so
to
he's
that.
been hooching it all afternoon.
Yeah, he's pretty drunk.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, I just don't think it's right, although he's not drunk like out of control drunk.
But he's drunk enough to be making errors in judgment.
He
says,
I don't think it's right that I spent, and then he goes and he gets the thing and he's like all old men, myself included now, where he's looking at the bill and trying to figure out how much, and he goes, it's something like 16 something for those two, I mean, for what, to talk to you and you acted like, and she said, I did no such thing. And then at this point, the husband, kind of a little guy, out of nowhere, now I've never seen this, he just punched him once in the stomach.
Wow.
Once in the stomach. Just,
all right.
Just, and it was like Jackie Chan, like, almost, because it was just boom. And the next thing you know, the guy's still, you know, sitting, standing on his stool. He says, and really sat there. And at this point, everybody in the bar is just watching.
Of course. Wow, what a show.
Everybody's watching. And I've never seen, you know, I've seen a guy get punched. Boy, I saw a guy take a sucker punch at you once.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I've never seen, like, it was almost like something out of the movies where you see a guy punch a guy in the belly, and it's like one punch, and the guy's totally disabled.
That guy that took a sucker punch at me didn't take a sucker punch. He landed a sucker punch at me.
Yeah.
Hi, Dennis.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's that.
Still got the knot in my jaw.
Wow. So he's sitting there. He goes, and the guy says, "I, you know, that's it. We're leaving."
Yeah.
So the husband and wife leave.
They leave. Now, the guy's still there.
Has he gotten his breath back yet?
He's just sitting there now. He's sitting there, and he's just... He turns to me. He says,
"Do you effing believe women?"
And I looked at him, and I went, "Yes. Yes, I do. Yes, I do." And there's nothing to this.
You don't want to be anywhere near him.
Except that one guy punched another guy in a bar.
And obviously it was a kind of under-the-radar little punch. Oh, not like throw glasses, over chairs.
That's what I'm saying about this guy. He was smaller.
Right.
He was wearing like a Michelin Man type jacket.
Right.
It was cold where
right.
I was. And did not look to be like an imposing thug.
Yeah.
And it's like the more the conversation went along, all of a sudden it was just boom. And then it was. And meanwhile, the husband's just saying, "Are you ready to go, honey? Can we get going?" And everybody at the bar is just watching this. And anyway, I loved it. So,
yeah. Oh, my God.
So they left the bar. And then the next guy that came and sat in what it turned out to be the magic stool and I'm no stranger to that, was a guy who, I guess they had been celebrating St. Patrick's Day as well.
Yeah, because a lot of people did it this past weekend.
Even though it's not till Friday, a lot of people had parties over the weekend.
Right.
Well, this guy walked in. That was in a cold weather city. This guy walked in wearing, like, Docker shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And hard shoes with no socks.
Right.
A golf shirt, the one with the penguin on it.
Right.
And green knee socks.
Very nice.
Okay. So it was like maybe he'd been dressed for some sort of celebration parade.
I'm not really sure. You know,
you never know what people are going to wear.
When I said no socks, I meant like, you know, not that you would walk into it. And they were hard like business shoes.
Uh-huh.
He didn't have like black socks with him. He had, and they went all the way up to his knee, and he didn't have, like, fancy kilts on or like Irish shorts. He just had Docker shorts on. So he sits down at the bar, and he says,
"That's what I'll be wearing."
He says to me, "How you doing?" And I say, "Pretty good. I've been in the bar 25 minutes.
Right.
I've already seen a fight."
Right.
And I've heard a bunch of couples fighting and arguing. So it's been a pretty good show. I said to him, "What's up with those socks?" And he said, "Aren't they great?"
I like this guy immediately. I like this guy already.
Yeah. My wife got them for me for St. Patrick's Day. They are great. So, like, I can't bust this guy's balls.
Of course not. You can't. If a guy responds to you like that in a bar, you can't.
So I said to him, "So you're fully aware of what you're wearing?" He said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "All right, good." I said, "You certainly are better than the last guy that was sitting there." I said, and then the bartender came over, and
right.
as he was ordering, he said, "Okay, tell me, what was the last guy that was here?" And he said, "Oh, it was a thing. It was this guy tried to pick up this woman, and he got hit in the stomach." And then the guy with the knee socks says, "Oh, you mean Jack?" Turns out, hold on.
Oh, my God.
They all work for, you guessed it, State Farm Insurance.
It's an insurance convention.
Oh. State Farm Insurance.
They have more. I think the insurance agency has more, like, junkets and getaways than any other industry.
So the guy that got punched in the belly and lost his wind, he left the restaurant, went somewhere where he relayed the story about what happened to the guy with the green knee socks who came back and was pretty cool. And he was like, "Oh, tell me the real story."
Yeah.
So everybody was telling him the real story about what happened. And then I looked at my watch and I said, "You know what?
To bed, what a day.
Show's over.
Goodbye." Goodbye.
Too good.
The Jack Ellis show.
I love that.
That's why I hate bars.
Jack Ellis.
That's why I hate bars, though.
That's why I love bars.
Both valid.
You don't always get a great show. You don't always get a great show like that.
No, you don't.
Right.
It's just, for the time that I was sitting there, I was like one of the depressed people that I mocked. Except, you know, I was thinking, well, what choices do I have? You know, the plane doesn't leave till tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. What else am I going to do? In a lot of cases, these are people who lived in this town, and for them, for these mooks, this was a night out.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I worked way, way, way back when. I worked in a hotel that was, you know, a place where local people would hang out.
Right.
Even though it was a hotel, the bar was frequented by the locals.
Mm-hmm. Annoying. God, people are annoying.
Now, is that what you're going to put on your gravestone? People are annoying.
That would be the title of my book.
People are annoying,
especially Greg Gillespie.
Oh yes,
who's not our boss?
Mm.
Forget that. Take that out of your vocabulary.
Told a lot of people that though. The way I understand it,
I can't wait.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff about him to get
there. I unfortunately, or shall I say fortunately, did not have a lot of private time with Greg.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi there.
Incidentally, he did two pass-bys. I didn't alert you to that.
Oh.
He did two walk-bys when you were telling your story. I didn't want to slow you down with that story, but he's with somebody, and he was like, obviously, going, those are my guys. They work for me.
He's going to get plenty of time today. Even before The Sopranos, he'll get... plenty of time today.
Excellent, Tom. Excellent. As your boss, I'm happy about that.
Yes, hello.
Hey, guys. I don't know how much college basketball fans you guys are, but yesterday, I don't know if you saw Jim Nance, and you got to get him on this week. I thought I was in my happy place, like Happy Gilmore. The azaleas were blooming, and I truly believe CBS was America's most watched network. But then all of a sudden, it turned into Bizarro Super Friends and Happy Gilmore, where Grandma was...
Just cut to the point. Did Nancy do something on the telecast?
Yes, he did. He went off on the NCAA commissioner. I don't know if it was the Billy Packer influence, but you got to calm him down before the match.
What did he now, say? Hold on. Was it during the selection show?
Yeah, it was during the selection show.
What did he say about to the commissioner?
He said to the commissioner that basically they are absolutely wrong for getting four teams, I think, from like the Missouri Valley Conference, and he got really angry and he cut them off. And even Greg Gumbel back at the studio was a little. They laughed about it when they went back to the studio because they.
You know, I don't. Let me just hang up on this guy because.
Bye.
I could probably tell it better. I'm one of the dopes that watches that show.
Ah.
Okay.
The selection show for the brackets,
where basically you're going to find, you know, you find out in like 25 minutes everything that you need to know. Anyway, as it was going on, it is so boring that you just want to know the list, you want to know the teams that made it. I went in the other room and just had the TV on and was like listening to hear, okay, who's the number one seed, who's the number two seed. I did see they had Jim Nance in a remote location, I guess in Indianapolis, wherever the games were being played yesterday. And he was in the middle of the basketball court, and it was he and Billy Packer just sitting there like on orange crates. And even with it muted and me or walking by and not really watching, it was obvious that they would go to all of the experts,
right. All
of the people that were in better locations and studios, and then they would throw it to Nance for like 5 seconds.
Right. Nance was not happy with the selections?
I don't know. No, I didn't hear him rave out, but it doesn't surprise me because it's the type of thing that he would, you know, it's like he picks the stupidest things to make a fist on. Like
cold weather during the playoffs.
Right? Like when he fought and said on the air that the New England Patriots should have canceled the snow game.
Because it was going to be like 6 degrees and
against
people
the Raiders
were gonna die.
3 years ago.
Guys, this wouldn't happen if the selections were made by Tom Brady. Such a class guy.
Did you see any of Nancy?
I don't care for sports.
Oh, that was it. Okay.
I thought maybe you saw him.
Good day to you, sir.
I really thought you might have seen him.
No, but I watched the selection show. And then it's like, I guess what I like best is when they go to the bubble teams that didn't make it.
Yeah, right.
Because, you know, they're all sitting around. They've got cameras.
And they all have cameras, you know, in their little, hall where they're waiting and watching.
And then you would get the occasional team. I don't know which it was. Maybe it was one of the local teams, maybe George Mason. Whatever the team it was, they didn't like where they were seated.
Yeah.
It was like they got the 8th seed.
Yeah, I read about that.
So
the 8th seed.
So they go live on TV. They go, and from the CFA or whatever it is, let's go to George. Now, keep in mind, this college.
George Washington, wasn't it? Wasn't it the Colonials?
Or, I don't know. I think it might have been George Mason. Well, I'd like to think it was George Mason because George Mason to me is like 13th grade. we get a lot of interns out of George Mason.
We've had some spectacular. It's always been a tie between George Mason and the American universities for exactly.
Oh, Mike, can you look real fast and see which one made it?
Let me see, because of course it is USA Today. I think they've got the whole special thing.
It don't really matter. The point is that they're having shots of a lot of teams that have made it.
Right.
And they're excited just to be in the tournament. Sure. And then they go, and with the number 8 seed, it's George, whatever, 13th grade or George Washington. And They're all sitting there with their arms folded, going like, son of a bitch. Mother effer. God damn. What is all you have to say? Eighth seed. You don't hear it. You just see it, and they tried to cover it on TV. Oh, well, they must not be happy about being the eighth seed.
I can't even decipher this crap.
Well, they should have been ranked high. I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was 13th grade.
God, I have no idea. Is this like with the D.C. regional, the Atlanta regional, the Minneapolis regional? Where it's like, and they've got a lot of different eights.
Here is Yanni.
Yes, both George Mason and George Washington both made the tournament. Mason got an 11 seed, and I think they were very happy to get in.
George Washington was upset about going
into the Big East tournament. They were, or whatever the hell tournament they were in, they were ranked sixth, and they still managed to get an 8 seed.
Thank you, Yanni.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, there you go. We got the answer. So they're the ones that were not happy. Oh, now, which one of your children will we be whoring out this year to pick the NCAA brackets for us, Rob?
Tonight or tomorrow morning, gauging the mood. He's not had the best weekend. We're going to see if Robert can have the focus to pull it off.
Very good.
It's a lot harder than picking the NFL playoffs because it requires a time investment.
Now, the thing is, when Rob does this, he'll do this on his own time, and he will edit it together. When we first heard Julia do this, I said, that's amazing that you got her to sit still that long. I said, this was a total like 4-hour time commitment.
Yeah, there's chasing.
That you edited down, right?
There's chasing and sometimes two sessions. He's been a piece of work of late.
Oh, has he really?
Yeah, he was great at Best Buy, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. That was great. You ever been to Best Buy where they have the big blue tiled circle in the foyer? It's like maybe 10 foot in diameter.
Right.
He had too much day. Just
right.
Too much. And it's my own fault because I was doing some shopping.
Right.
And by the time I had paid for it, he laid down on the circle, face down, screaming.
Oh, and, no, you know, in a store?
And if you're in the middle of a transaction, oh, I mean, it's not like you can run over. So I said, I'll be right over. I'll be right back. And I run over there, and he's in the foyer of this big store, and he's screaming, and it's echoing. And a salesperson comes over and says, can I help you? And I said, yeah, he's really not happy with the service we've gotten today.
Is that what you said?
And she looked at me like for a split second like I was serious.
Right.
And I said, he's just had a lot of time.
They're not going to get that joke in Best Buy.
No, they didn't. Actually, but you know what? They helped me to my car with my bags. I was shocked.
Did one of them carry your child?
Anything to get me out of there, I think.
Oh, that would be hello. You know, security? Screaming. Screaming baby.
Screaming baby.
Screaming child.
Baby.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Am I on, guys?
Oh,
sorry, guys.
Bye!
Oh, that's an immediate...
Sorry, guys.
Disqualification,
not
guys.
Not any longer, guys.
I'm Don and Mike. Hello. Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah.
It was George Washington was the ones who were
right,
all
what I
bye!
We got that, so let's just do this before we got a break. Let's officially start the show.
My aunt.
And then there's going to be some Gillespie talk.
Yeah.
Some Sopranos talk. Oh, come on. You know that we've got to cover the Sopranos.
And my
Yeah. And now here is Junior Soprano.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Or between 2 and 6, or between 1 and 5, between noon and 4, or just check your local listings.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Damn straight.
Hello!
Hi there.
Hello.
It's too bad Daddy won't let you pick the games this year.
That'll teach her.
Hello.
Oh, hello. You know what we better do? We better open the door and let him in.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, here's his intro.
He's a lovable character. He's like the Kool-Aid guy.
He is fat.
No, he's just a little bloated.
Rush, beware.
Ouch. Uh-oh.
Oh.
He's coming back in.
All right.
He's a lovable character. He's like the Kool-Aid guy.
He is fat.
No, he's just a little bloated.
Rush, beware.
How is yours?
That's a day.
We need a doorstop.
Bernadette. without the four tops.
He's been pushed out again.
Okay, come on.
He's a lovable character. He's like the Kool-Aid guy.
He is fat.
No, he's just a little bloated.
How's your illegal soap opera boxing match? Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Sack and all the ships at sea.
Johnny, yeah, Ginny, yeah.
Yeah, guilty. Yeah. Guilty as being hot. Yeah. They will broadcast just as soon as they find Uncle June's upper teeth. It's Don Geronimo. And there he is, Mr. Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Abby. And hello, everybody. Thank you for listening. This is the Don and Mike Show, and it's a new episode, everybody. On this Monday, 0313-86.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
No, Buzz ain't retarded. And here are the numbers you can call the show from anywhere in America. Either 877-365-3636, or you can call 800-636-1067. You're listening to WJFK in Washington, where Greg Gillespie's not our boss. You can call 202-432-1067. We've also got us a website, DonandMikeWebsite.com. That's where we are streaming. And yes, now listen.
That looks healthy to me.
It's Lindsay Lohan's used bathwater.
Oh, no wonder. Nice. No wonder. Wow, that's kind of a little off-green.
Watch for the taste now. Okay. She's got bladder issues.
Oh, no. Why didn't you tell me that before?
Mike, everybody loves Lindsay Lohan.
You slicked me.
Pay that man his money.
All night long, this chick.
There you go. There's the internet stream. Shake it. Don't break it, baby. And that's at DonandMikeWebsite.com. Mm. Just click on Listen Live. Oh, and you can also check us out at iTunes, Apple's iTunes for your iPod. And you can email us anytime during the show. Some of your emails will actually be answered on the web during the show at DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Wow. Cool.
Cello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don.
Hi there.
Are you allowed to make fun of people for 13th grade when you didn't graduate from high school?
He did graduate from high school.
Not legitimately.
Ah, but with a forged letter. But here's the thing, my friend. Yes, I can, because I am the great American success story. Go ahead and mock me. Am I here and are you there?
I believe that is correct.
Did you have a college education?
Yes.
I'm glad. I'm glad that worked out for you. I'm living the dream. This is what I wanted to do since I was 7 years old. So, yes, I could certainly make fun of people that go to Harvard.
That's right.
Christ. Jesus Christ.
As we have.
And will.
As we have case in point, indeed, by our good friend James Brown.
Those people will not JB out of it. Come on. Pompous blowhards. Don't need no book smarts to make $1 million a year in America, dude.
That's right.
Bingo.
Just got to have the skills.
Just like Napoleon Dynamite said.
I was out honing on and refining my skills on the playgrounds of Cabrini Green.
That's right.
When I was a youngster, constantly.
Chicks dig the guys that have the skills.
Constantly out getting beaten up. Well, you saw it in Hoop Dreams. You saw the story that I had to go through to get to where I am today.
Talk about pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. Mm-hmm.
But come on, listen, 13th grade. The deal is the people at George Mason, they're good students.
Yes.
But let's face it.
No, they're good students except the ones that they would send over here.
Yeah,
they would send the bad students over here. Except for, wait a minute, Dee Dee Skank. She was a good intern.
But
she was probably a bad student. Was she George Mason?
They've
been very likable.
Yeah,
they're very likable.
They're very nice school. Yeah. They're very nice school. It might as well be, you know, your gateway to fast food management. Now that's it.
Upper management.
Has it been your dream to run a Hardee's? Come to George Mason. And listen, go ahead. Go be happy. I never went to college. Yet, somehow, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
What can I say?
Top of your feet.
Living the dream, Dave. Living the dream.
Living the dream, Dave.
Have you seen the crest for George Mason? It's in Latin, but the translation is just minutes from the Beltway.
Yes. And your school, of course, yours and mine both.
I believe that might be a tie.
Stellar academic institutions.
Yeah, that might
be
a tie.
Fabulous. What was your mascot, Rob?
The Ram.
The Ram.
The BC
Virginia,
Ram.
Virginia Commonwealth University. I, of course, the AU Eagle.
I have to check the website to see if we're accredited in Mass Comm this week. I never can remember.
Somebody here who works on the show graduated.
This is John.
Yanni, did you graduate from George Mason?
I did.
Oh!
All right, there you go.
Yeah.
Congratulations. There's
nice
my
people.
Point. There you go.
My claim to fame at American University would be, of course, the president who called and made obscene phone calls to girls saying he had a girl in a cage in his basement. And then the next president down the line was someone who embezzled lots of money from the school. Yeah, so we've got quite a string going on.
So, John, you went to the 13th grade.
Yes.
What's the mascot over there?
I have no idea.
Patriot.
Mayor McPhee.
Yes, the Patriot.
I even know that.
The Hamburglar.
The George Mason Patriots.
Wendy.
I don't know. I've heard a rumor that some people that go to George Mason get a hell of a lot of alimony.
It's the,
It's just a rumor. Strike it.
Bye.
Disregard it.
That's right.
Eliminate it.
Never happened.
What's that?
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Mike show.
Ain't no goddamn reason for the racism today, gentlemen. You know what I mean? I come on, you talk about black people, you calling them people, you playing Connect Four, you doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Stop doing it. Bye.
I think he was being facetious.
Bye.
I believe he was being facetious.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, guys.
Hey, Drunk Chad.
Hey,
you know, you get the award for recognizing Chad every time, no matter what timbre his voice is. I never recognize
I know his
Chad.
Register.
I like drinking with Don and Mike.
What are you drinking today, Chad?
I think he's singing a song.
Yeah. Well, I just did a rendition of that song.
What are you enjoying today?
Beer.
What kind?
Hessenweizen.
That's nice beer.
Gesundheit.
What kind is
what
it?
What was it?
The Windmeyer Brothers Hessenweizen.
How many have you had, Chad?
I'm too short of a 12-pack down.
Wow.
It's a wheat beer, and it ain't weak.
Right, so you've had 10 of them already.
No, and it's very cloudy.
And what time did you start, West Coast time today?
2 hours ago.
2 hours ago.
2 hours ago.
2 hours ago.
Isn't he banned?
You can't every time.
You ask that all the time. No, he's not
banned.
One
of these days it'll stick.
Yeah. Monday.
Hey,
just on
Rob,
a short leash.
Hang in there, Rob.
Chad.
Why do Jewish people have big noses?
Oh, God, that's an old joke.
That's a very old
joke.
Very
because,
old.
Is it because...
anyway.
What, Chad?
I'm going to get you a Helen Keller, okay?
Well, Chad, why do Jewish people have big noses?
Because air is free.
You know, I don't think we have... You've just done... You're fond of being
I knew
Chad.
It. Yeah. I had it. I would have won.
You noodled it through.
Chad has...
I would have won on whose line is it anyway?
Chad has just got a free pass. Yeah, Chad is now... Chad is now actually... shut up, Chad.
Bye!
Chad has gotten a special privilege to call him with a joke without his phone number getting out over the air.
Apparently so.
And calling during a non-make-us-laugh segment.
Make-us-laugh game.
I'm soft for him.
You have a soft spot for Chad.
I'm soft and hard for him. Same time. Hello, Donna Mike Show. You know what I mean.
Radio gods.
I can be hard on him if I have to.
All right.
Sit hard on Chad. Hello.
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 Hello. Question.
Suggested
listening age?
For what?
For your program.
Use your head.
What do you think?
5?
You got it.
and so it was.
Bye-bye.
5.
All right, that's enough of you people for right now.
Yeah, Jesus, that's for sure.
We'll break, come back, and it's the wonderful world. The Soprano, just recap on that. You know, come on. And really, who saw that coming? Nobody.
That's what makes it good.
Yep. You had to be sitting there like everybody else for the first 50 minutes going, okay, come on. Slow.
Melfi enough. Yeah, and then finally,
Oh, that's the part you're talking about. I thought it was the fat guy that lost all the weight.
Also,
gotcha, Malanga. That's great.
It's Italian, right?
Who's your host? Tony. Four stars.
Yeah.
4 stars based on the last 2 minutes.
Sure.
911, where's the emergency?
What?
four stars based on Bobby Bacala's hat.
You know, just to hear, I'm so glad you got that. Yeah. Just to hear what he says.
This is the very beginning when Uncle June is speaking his Italian gibberish.
Gazzara, Malanga.
La 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 la.
Oh, June.
La 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 la. La, la,
Adi
la,
Shaw. It's Adi Shaw.
Samalaganga, or isn't that the guy that he kept thinking was still alive?
I don't know. I still, even when I hear it every time, I can't tell what he's saying.
Fellas, we got to do this.
Yes. Okay.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Is the Don and Mike Show.
Before we move on, let's just do a very brief recap of some of the product placement last night on The Sopranos.
Listen, I got some stuff I got to take care of. You okay to drive your cell phone?
I don't have my car, Tony.
Oh, yeah. So take this one.
Hey, Mrs. Ann.
What is this? Oh, my God. Is this the new Porsche?
Cayenne Turbo. I got the 4.5 liter V8. Wasn't sure about the color, so I took a shot.
Tony, I love it. It's gorgeous. I still wish you'd talk to that guy at the building department, but oh my God! What a car!
All right, now let's move. let's move a few moments later in the show.
Is that new? Oh, the car! Yes! Yes, Porsche Cayenne. Like the pepper. It's beautiful, car.
And then a few moments later.
Well, here I am. Is that a Porsche?
Had my eye on it for months. It's a gift from Tony. I thought about a Boxster, but I don't know. So that felt more like me.
And, you know, the singular stuff doesn't translate to radio.
Right.
It's just every time Tony opened his Razor phone, you saw singular. Even,
that's right.
Even when he was mad and threw the phone.
Right. And, that, you know, you want to know how HBO generates a little more revenue?
Yeah. There it is.
There you go.
And I know there's others.
Yeah.
And I know that I had thought of others last night as well as I was watching it.
Right.
I know someone will have a website. Oh, well, listen, let's...
The Don and Mike Show.
Let's do this.
They have an eye for the unexpected. Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Andrew Flagel from George Mason University.
Yes.
Radio Gods, how are you?
Hi there, Andrew.
What year are you in, Andrew?
What year am I? I'm the Dean of Admissions.
You're the Dean of Admissions.
You are not.
I really am.
You are.
And I've been listening to you guys since WABA.
Rob said he's a part-timer.
That's right.
What can we do for you?
Just happy to answer. I understand that you had some concerns about the admission standards.
We have a dean
warmer.
Is there a chance that this guy really is the admissions dean?
Get admitted to American.
At George Mason University.
Why don't we have Johnny graduated from George Mason? Why don't we have Johnny quiz him on a few pertinent campus facts?
I don't know what his standards were when he got in, but I can assure you that it's very competitive.
You sound awfully young to be a dean of admission.
How old are you, sir?
Thank you.
38. And you're really the admission dean at George Mason, and you're calling because...
He's not.
I listened to the radio show. I was on my way over to a meeting and overheard your discussion of our...
Maybe you should... Do you have any classes at all in cynicism, in sarcasm, in... jokes!
Those are all in the radio communications department, yes.
He's not the dean of admissions.
I think he might be.
I don't think he is.
Listen.
I really am.
This is such a dumb school.
How would you prove
There's
it?
A chance you could have a dumb guy like this. I mean, look at how many... How do you think all the dumb people get in?
I know. This is true. Dean O'Dean.
Hold on a second. We'll check your credentials.
Okay.
I'll make you a gentleman's bet he's on the level.
All right.
I don't know if I'd want to put any dead presidents on it.
I think he's faking it. I think it's fixed.
Don and Mike Show.
Well, hey, guys.
Hey, Robbie, get someone back there to research that, please. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, don't forget about the Lexus backing up when the Jews got it. And
Hesh.
Oh,
yeah, Hesh.
Yeah, right.
There's I believe they said Lexus.
Yes.
And hey, Buzz, Wichita State's in the big dance this year too.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. Go Shockers.
Bye.
My mascot, a wheat shock.
Really?
A shock of wheat. That was my school's mascot. the fighting shocks of wheat.
All right, now while we get the information on the guy from the college,
which you really don't care about,
the guy, Greg Gillespie, who really has worked here like a month and has already just turned out to be.
Feels like 10 years.
A gigantic goiter. I mean, right on our nads. Mm-hmm. This guy could not be more of a pain in the ass, Budinsky, radio expert, wannabe your buddy, yuck. I mean, that phony wannabe your buddy. So, he goes to Mike's Joint over the weekend.
Ah. Now, I went...
Look around cafe.
I went both Friday night and Saturday night. And I thought the way it had been indicated, I think to all of us, is that Greg was going to be there on Friday night.
Right.
And so, I figured Saturday night, I had some friends meeting me up there, and it was going to be no problem at all. And I, you know, God bless Jeff, my managing partner. He kept me advised. I got a call as soon as he walked in because apparently when he walked in on Saturday, he let a lot of people know who he was and that he was my boss. Huh. So it was very, someone came back to Jeff and said, a guy's here that says he's Mike's boss. That's the way wow. Jeff communicated to me. So I was coming up anyway. I couldn't get out. If it had just been me at that point, I would have made other plans. Yeah. Seriously, because I just didn't want to have the awkward moment. I wasn't in the mood for it. But when I got there, he was there. And
Hi, good evening.
I saw him.
Wondering if you have port by the glass.
And Mike O'Meara's boss.
This was all well and good. When I saw Greg, it was Saturday, and, you know, walked up, as I said I would, said hello, introduced him to Carla, and had about a minute and a half, 2 minutes of small talk. And then I said, well, have a good time. And then Carla and I retreated over to a corner table where I was waiting for another couple of couples that were coming up and meeting me up there. And so that was it. The only other contact I had was probably right about 10 o'clock at night where he came over and said, had a great time, thank you. And he was gone. Uh-huh. And I was suddenly very relaxed and enjoyed the rest of my evening. I had a very, very good time. Last night, right before The Sopranos is going to come on, Jeff calls me. He said, are you ready for a story? And to...
The gist
of it is...
I'm Mike's boss.
The gist of it is, I asked Jeff, there was so much to tell that I didn't see when I was there because I wasn't with him. And the follow-up to his evening there, that I asked Jeff to send me an email. Now, I expected to get an email with maybe a couple of sentences.
Sure.
Jeff sent me an email with 19 points on it.
It's a dossier, Mike.
It's a dossier because really, in the joint, if we've got somebody who might be, you know, a problem case, somebody you need to watch because they've had, you know, something to drink or they're just being obnoxious, you know, you don't want to overserve them and right. You want to get them out. So we're real good at keeping eyes on people, yes. But there was not an effort made in this case because apparently Greg was just very noticeable, very, very noticeable, not only to Jeff, but to some other people. So you ready?
All right, this is the program director now going to Mike's Joint,
mm-hmm.
announcing that he's the boss. Well, anyway, here's the list from the guy at the place.
Yeah. All right, so Jeff says, Mike, here's the night as I understand it. And now this is all interpreted. You know, there's some information they've gotten from other people, but
sure.
This is the way he gives it to me as best he understands it. But okay. It's pretty detailed.
So this is the new program director at Mike's Restaurant Saturday night.
Very good. Number one, arrives at restaurant alone at about 6 or 7 p.m., asking to be seated in Teresa's section. Teresa is one of our waitresses.
Ah.
All right. Number two.
Now, how does he know to ask to be waited, seated and wait in
Teresa? Teresa has participated in the junkies contest and is a junket.
Ah.
So that's his entree into that. Number two.
All right, now, the junkies are the morning guys at JFK, and
right.
The junkets are like the cheerleaders,
right.
The horses they send out to their appearances.
Right. Now, okay. Number two orders dinner.
No offense to that particular lady.
Number two orders dinner and a bottle of wine for himself. Hey. All right.
Okay, of course.
Number three. This is Jeff saying this, but I'm laughing at it. Number three, introduces himself to anyone that will listen and is sure to let them know that he is your boss.
Wow.
Ass.
This is just the way he's telling it.
What a hole that guy is, really.
Number four.
What a butthole.
Finishes dinner and most, if not all, of his wine.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Jeff, at this point, Jeff introduces himself, comes over and says, I introduce myself by saying, you must be Greg. He surprisingly doesn't introduce himself as your boss to me. I figure he must have known that that I would know better.
Ah.
All right. So, number six. I deliver his coffee to the table, but he is not there. He's squatting next to a child in a high chair and a couple of tables over from us.
Oh, no.
He's making small talk with the couple, trying to get the baby, which couldn't speak yet, to say something like, quote, rock on, or, quote, I'm a rocker, or something like that. The
dumbass.
The couple are the couple with the baby are looking at him as if he had lobsters crawling out of his ears. I don't know if he was invited there by them or if he just got up and decided to talk to them.
Hmm.
I hightail it away from there after dropping off his cup of coffee.
Sure.
Number seven. He drinks his coffee and sits in the corner by himself, analyzing everything from the looks of it. Number eight. Teresa closes out as his server so she can go to change and bartend in the VIP. 10 o'clock, we switch things up. We turn into a nighttime place, and she goes back to do this. He moves. Okay, so that's what happened. Number nine, he moves over to the bar where he drinks Maker's Mark. So now he's switched from, I guess it's been wine, coffee, Maker's Mark. I know he had at least, in parentheses, this is so detailed. I know he had at least two because he had one in front of him, and I bought him another one.
Oh.
So we're being nice to him. I said, listen, I'm not going to hang out with him, but I want you to be, you know, nice to the guy. He makes small talk with whomever will listen to him at the bar.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Allergic to program directors. You know, I'm sorry.
He chats up Katie. That's another one of our servers, and asks if she's the manager, even though she's wearing her server outfit and not her costume. He must not be as observant as he thinks he is if he can't tell the difference between that outfit and a manager's dress. Or he was trying to get brownie points with her.
Or he's trying to get into her pants.
This is his analysis. Also, he brags to Katie about how Teresa is his, quote, employee, and that he sends his junkets out to events and things like that. Little does he know that Teresa reiterated that this job's her priority, blah, blah, blah,
right,
and that she'd quit being a junket if it interferes with us at all.
Hey, you see that girl over there? She's a junket.
Right.
Hey, she works for me. She's one of my employees.
I like that.
Maker's Mark, please.
We're halfway there. Number 10, he finds out, I think from Rob, that Teresa is now in the VIP bar and almost sprints back to the bar. Apparently, he didn't stay after that. He just said bye to her and left, from what I gather.
Uh-huh.
That jives with what I said, because he said to me he was leaving at that time.
Okay.
He left after the DJ started, so it probably was sometime between 10 and 11.
All right.
Number 11, he apparently gets up bright and early, sends an email to Jeff, and he doesn't know who else. He didn't send one to our other manager, Rob, but the email, the gist of it, I don't have it in front of me, is something along the lines, had a great time, you cooked the fish, made to order, it was very good, you should have more wines by the glass, though. You know, he has to do the PD thing where he's got to throw in the constructive criticism,
no, he's
of course.
And he's sending an email to the manager of your restaurant, you know, like, who the hell, even if it's a restaurant that a friend owns, the next day goes home and sends out an email,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then P.S., you know. You could use more wines by the glass.
Yeah, it was like a nice thank you, and then, but it's not a thank you.
Right.
It's a thank you with just his little analysis of what. But then again, he's got the right to do that. He's my boss.
That's right.
Everybody's boss. All right, now this is. I'm going to tell you, this is all. I'm getting this like second, third hand, but this is the way everybody understands it. This is where this gets interesting. This is why I got the phone call last night at about 7 p.m. Sunday. He called the restaurant. And Brian, he's one of our managers, answers.
Mm-hmm.
He asked if Katie was working by chance. Brian said, may I ask who's calling? And he replied, it's Greg, dude, or something very familiar like that, as if Brian would know who he was. In fact, he was so familiar in his response that Brian thought it was another Greg that we all know, but it wasn't. It was this guy.
So last night he calls your restaurant.
Asked for servers.
Looking for one of the waitresses.
Katie.
Okay.
Number 13. Katie answers the phone, and he says something like, is this the Katie that worked last night and had the sequins on her shirt and bell bottoms on? She said that it was.
Uh-huh.
He said it was Greg and asked if she remembered him. She said she did. Number 15, he asked her what her days off were this week. Number 16, she told him, and he said something like, we should get drinks on your day off. How do you feel about that? Or what do you think? Or something like that. That's the way that's what's going on here.
Okay.
Number 17. This is Jeff's interpretation, but apparently he got it from Katie. She felt a little cornered and felt like, because the perception was, this is my boss, she had no other choice, and she said she would. So then he says something like, this is the alleged, you know, repeating a conversation. Yeah, Wednesday'd be nice. Apparently he's trying to sound casual and not too eager and didn't set a date in stone.
Yeah, not sound too eager. He's right. Only been to the restaurant on Saturday night, mm-hmm. sent a thank you email on Sunday, and then called on Sunday night to talk to a waitress while she was working to see if she would go out with him.
So Jeff says this is purely speculation on my part, but I have a feeling he didn't set a date in stone so he could get her contact info instead of agreeing on a time and taking a chance of being stood up with no way to contact. Then he said he would call her tomorrow. That's all the info that Jeff has, but I'd like to give him a round of applause.
Yeah,
for giving me that detail.
A couple of issues.
Yes.
That we're going to bring up with Gillespie.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, there's one that we're dancing around that I know you guys won't see coming.
All right. And, you know, gosh, it could be dicey.
Yeah,
it's not the thing about him thinking he's our boss and throwing that around.
No, it's not at all.
Oh, he's not going to pick up today.
Today's one of the days he's not there.
I can't take your call right now. I'm either on the other line or out of the office.
Sure.
Just leave your name and number at the tone, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thanks.
You can ask him the question.
Hey, Greg, it's Don and Mike.
Hi, buddy.
I know that you're here by yourself right now looking for a place to live. I was wondering when's your wife going to be joining you?
We weren't sure. We assumed that you had a wife.
When you came into the office and, you know, one of the many times you come in glad hand, I couldn't help but notice that, unless it's a friendship ring,
right,
that you have on the ring finger of your left hand.
Please to clear that up for us. We'd be very curious. Very curious.
And you're not our boss, ass. You're not our boss. Watch Malcolm in the Middle. Listen to the theme. You are not the boss of me. You're not the boss of Mike. You're not the boss of Buzz. You're not the boss of Rob. You are the boss of Joe. Joe.
Enjoy.
Bye-bye now.
Beat him to a pulp. Take him to one of your focus groups. With the waitresses from Mike's restaurant. Dick. Bye! Now, let's see.
Call made.
Now, do something about it. Gillespie.
There you go.
Do something about it.
But, you know, really.
I'm sure that he and his wife are just separated.
To roll in and
or maybe
make this much of an impression... He certainly, you know, I mean, he made an impression. He made a big splash. He wanted people to know he was there, you know.
Mission accomplished.
See. Where would that booger be at?
Saw him walking around earlier.
Giving a tour or something.
What do you think? He's going to go to your joint? He's going to announce everybody?
Hey, guys.
Hi there. Do you know where Gillespie is?
No, I don't. He was here. Hey. I haven't seen him in the last hour, though.
Have you met his wife? Do you know if he's married?
No. I don't know.
You don't know?
Nobody knows.
No. Would you put me through to human resources?
Sure, hold on. Hi, it's Megan.
Hey, Megan. Hi, it's Don and Mike.
Hi.
You're on the air. I know that's okay with you, right?
Yes, it is.
Yes. Megan, incidentally, looks like the girl from the West Wing, except with red hair.
Right.
You know the girl that Josh almost keeps banging?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, that's a compliment, Megan.
Well, thank you.
Now, let's see. Oh, yes, we were calling about Greg Gillespie.
Gigi.
Okay.
Do you know if he's married? Was that on his application?
He is married, yes.
Thank you, Megan.
You're welcome.
Happy Bye-bye. Days are here again. The skies above are clear again. You see, Dick, if you're going to go to Mike's bar and announce that you're our boss and everything, it's not really smart to try to pick up a waitress that works at Mike's place.
I'm sure they were just having, just wanted to have drinks as friends.
Just chatting.
Yeah. I'm sure.
I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Absolutely.
I'm sure Mrs. Gillespie is cool with that.
I'm sure no problems whatsoever.
He's in town by himself,
mm-hmm.
ostensibly looking for a place to live.
Mm-hmm.
He just wants to meet some friends.
Sure, meet new friends. No problems at all.
Went out to Mike's joint.
You know.
Had to be Mr. Big Throw It on the Table.
Yeah, I'm Mike O'Mara's boss. How are you?
Do you know, I suddenly think that maybe he won't be bothering us as much anymore.
What an idiot.
I think he really might not be bothering us.
We'll see.
Dope. What a dope. I mean, unless he went through circumstances like I did with Frida, you know, and I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I've just recently stopped wearing my wedding ring, so, but
mm-hmm.
that's because Frida
We never know. We don't know the details.
Frida passed.
We don't know the details of his situation.
That's right.
But I thought from all along.
I thought that we discussed that before all of this.
Anyway, pretty stupid. You know, if you want to get laid and you're new in town and you're married, what you don't want to do is go to one of your employees, you know, or take that back. Mike's not your employee, mm-hmm. but a coworker. Mm-hmm. Right, well, let's face it, Mike is your boss. You know, you're not his boss. You know, Mike is your boss.
Mm-hmm.
But that's for another court to decide.
That's right.
Let's say that you just go into a coworker's establishment,
okay,
and you make your presence known. You announce who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you announce that you have a relationship with the guy who owns the place,
right?
And then you can't keep it in your pants. The next day, you have to call the waitress to ask her out, and you think that that's not going to get back to Mike. You think the people in the restaurant aren't going to talk about it.
Well, it says here he bragged to Katie about how Teresa is his employee and that he sends his junkettes out to events. That's in my little recap here.
His junkettes.
His junkettes.
That's so nice.
What an ass.
He's adopted them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see if he would like to join us. Let me try him again.
Very good.
I mean, listen, he's the one that went out to your joint.
Yes.
He's the one that dropped the name.
I didn't have any contact with the guy. I said hello to him and goodbye to him.
He's the one, like, you know, a dog that hasn't been fixed yet.
This is all, you know, people rubbing that weren't there giving this back to me.
Rubbing himself up against, you know, like coffee table legs.
Mm-hmm.
The freaking dog at heat.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah. Well, I can't take your call right now. I'm either on the line or out of the office.
She's not here right now.
Right.
The ring's a prop.
Thanks.
The ring is a... bye.
Bye!
The ring's a prop. Frankly, women approach me all too often in bars. Yeah, you know how it goes.
Right.
You see that girl over there? She's my employee.
For all we know, he was just doing relationship marketing.
Hey, there you go.
Absolutely. I would like to be dominated by you. Fascinating. Cat O' Nine Tails. Fascinating. And as I said, anybody can go, you know, and have a friend and go out and have a drink with anybody they want.
Free country.
And when you beat my buttocks, I'll scream. I'm Mike's boss. Harder. I'm Mike O'Meara's boss.
Wow.
Harder. Yeah, I'm his boss. Nice place. Listen, get more glasses of wine. Get more wine by the glass. Here's a little constructive tip. But thank you. Thank you for a lovely evening.
Hello, Greg. This is Lucy. How are you?
Honey, the housing situation out here, it's, oh, God, they're telling me I'm going to have to stay in the hotel for at least another month. It's
indefinitely.
Not going to be safe.
But I'm living in the old place. I've just got a futon.
Honey, it's awful. I'm at the station 24 hours a day.
Stay where you are.
I miss you.
I miss you, too.
Are you wearing your ring?
Everywhere. I promise. Always.
Pure speculation
on our part. As Jeff said.
How are things at the station?
Great.
Speculation.
I'm the boss.
Mm-hmm. I'm the boss.
He's the boss. That's what he told people.
I'm the man.
That's what he said. Not the man. He said he's the boss.
That's right.
I miss you, darling. I'll see you by Labor Day.
Oh, hold on a second. We've still got Andrew Flagel on the line.
Yes, sir.
Did we check out this guy's credentials, Robbie?
I am of the opinion he is who he says he is.
Dean Flagel.
How so?
I asked him a few questions, and he answered
without hesitation. What questions did you ask him?
An obscure question. I asked what his office direct fax machine was, mm-hmm. and he, without hesitation, had it.
Okay.
And that is his name. He's on the website. So he's...
Who is the dean of alumni relations, or the alumni guy?
Dean of admissions.
The alumni. Who's your alumni guy?
Oh, Chris Clark Talley.
Okay.
It's a woman, not a man.
Ah. Mike, come on.
Yeah.
Not convinced.
Still not buying it.
I think the guy...
No, sir, we can't
still
go too easy on him. He's going to high-five his buddy. Guys. He's going to high-five his buddies, guys.
It's a school for tards.
What about John Norman? He went to George Mason.
Come on, Mike. I got the campus right over by O'Meara's. The Prince William campus of George Mason University right around the corner.
All right,
help me out here, John.
Here is Yanni.
Just put it to rest for me.
Hi, Yanni. Do you think this guy is on the level?
I called the admissions office and talked to some booger eater, and he claimed that this guy's Andrew Flagel is the dean of admissions.
But is this Andrew Flagel?
Excuse me?
Why would you lie about something like that, of all
things? Exactly. I don't know, John. Well,
I was going to make up a lie.
Lie to this show? Why would they call us and BS?
Mike, you're right.
Hold on. You know, geez, Mike, why would
one,
I have for 20 years?
The reason is...
The grad detector was wrong this time.
I'm not ready to give it up yet.
I'm telling you.
I'm a pit bull. I don't doubt that Andrew Flagel...
You have a crap detector. I have a dum-dum detector. This is a school for dum-dums, like the lollipops. And
just incorrect, sir.
I've listened
all these years. This is the first time that I felt compelled to call because I know of your need for
having offices are obviously right here in Fairfax.
That's right.
And you could simply do us the credit of coming by.
Greg? I'm sorry, Andrew? I called you Greg.
I'm actually at a meeting over off Wakefield Chapel Road.
All right,
but I'd be glad to come by after the meeting at 6.
Andrew?
And then I will eat all the crow in the world.
Will you really, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I really think...
Well, now I do.
The guy's on the level.
Now I'm coming over to your side he says he's going to stop by. You remember the lady that you didn't believe and we had her come by?
Right. Oh, yeah, the lady that I thought was a man.
Right. So then...
If I can help Don win a bet, I'll be glad to stop by.
Very good.
Well, do it on behalf of all of us stupid people out there.
We'd love to meet you, Dean Flagel.
Because I'm sure if I had gone to college...
Sounds funny, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Dean Flagel!
I'm sure if I had gone, you would have been my number one choice.
What time will you be here, Dean?
I will leave Wakefield Chapel Road at 6, so it's right down Wakefield. You know where it is.
Right.
I'll come down, be over to you guys.
Be here by 7.
Very good.
All right. See you
then. Bye, Dean.
Bye.
Bye!
Bye, Dean. Dean Flagel. That's right.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Ben and Gigi have a cell phone?
We don't have the number, do we?
I don't have it, no.
He does probably have it on his resume.
Okay, thank you.
Bye!
Junior
bye
detective.
Bye. HR. Don't throw around the lingo, man. HR.
The lingo. Lingo!
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, how are you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Got a comment. I've been a cop for 32 years. I'm a little bit older than your average listener. But I'm wondering, I can't help but hear the stuff about Greg Gillespie. Uh-huh. And wonder if you're not fearful one day he might walk in and vent, you know, workplace violence.
Do what kind of violence?
Workplace violence.
Workplace violence.
Well,
you guys are walking victims here.
We're what?
Walking victims.
Mike, you hear it. The police are concerned for our safety with
Gillespie. Help me, Rhonda.
Aren't you guys worried about him cracking and jumping over the edge?
Well, he's only been here a month.
Bye!
We got a lot more in store for him.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, did anybody notice if Leslie was wearing his wedding ring at the bar?
I can find that out. But I don't know. You know, I can't expect people to be that observant, but I could certainly look into it.
All right, thank you, Mike. Bye!
Not while we're spying on the guy. I was. I said, take a look at him.
For a guy who's just dying to be involved in the show. Hold on. One of our sneaky little spies gave us his cell phone number. Because he's not picking up upstairs.
No.
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 Oops, a one. Right.
He may be busy hiring more employees.
Doo-doo. Okay, here we go. You're calling Greg Gillespie.
Two ringy dingies. That would be three ringy dingies. Oh dear.
Oh my.
Four.
Your voicemail. Your voicemail coming up. Five. Maybe he's taking the battery out of the phone.
Fiber.
Hey, it's Greg Gillespie. Sorry, I can't take your call right now.
Hey, yes.
Leave your name and slowly leave your number, and I'll get back in touch with you as soon as possible. Thanks.
At the tone, please record your...
Want to give one of our standard...
When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback number, press 5.
Come on, Greg. Don and Mike, our number is...
1-800.
Or simply take it as it is. We are number one.
Thank you.
Where are you today? boy program director?
Please call. We'd love to chat.
Here, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye!
Bye-bye. Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guy code. Two words, guy code. You can't out a guy like that. He's trying to get a little tame.
No, hey.
Yeah.
More than guy code. A-hole boss, three words. Sorry.
That trumps.
A-hole boss trumps guy code.
Uh-huh.
And guy code would have probably been observed if he hadn't been such a swinging tool.
Bingo.
You got to be a guy to have the guy code.
This ain't me. I'm not observing.
You must really hate this guy.
I'm just relaying information that was given to me.
No, I hate him. I'll stand up and say it.
And I'm passing
this
along.
Bye-bye. The guy was just kind of high profile at Mike's place. You know what I mean?
Hey, you know what? The person that he talked to, the woman he asked out, you know, didn't exactly keep it to herself.
You know, hey, listen.
Ran back and wanted to share it because she felt a little weird about it.
Sure.
That's it. Can't do anything about that.
You want to go get a little something before wife comes into town? Mm-hmm. Hey, just don't be stupid. Mm-hmm. You know, come on.
Come on now.
Be a man.
Stop it.
Don't go to Mike's restaurant.
Yeah, don't go to Mike and say you're my boss.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Yeah, I got to side with Mike on the crap detector. If the guy was in a meeting on Wakefield Chapel, how was he listening to the radio and having time to give you a call?
Well, he will. He said he's leaving at 6, and he'll be here by the end of the show.
All right, got you.
We'll find out.
Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey.
Yeah, hi.
Corey.
What? Phone bad?
Bad phone.
Up, break, buy good.
But you know, the thing about that last call, I agree with John Norman, who looked at me and said, why would anybody call us and lie about anything?
Yeah. Mike, I'm sure that guy is the guy, though.
I know. I'm just saying. But you
know. I know. People lie all the time.
Of course.
I know. They do. It's what they do.
It's what they do. They do.
But don't worry, Greg. I've heard that lying can be very good for a relationship. Someday it'll bring you and your wife closer together.
Mm.
Hello. That is if she still joins you.
Right.
If she doesn't stay.
Hey, and in fairness to Greg, we don't know all the circumstances.
We
know very few circumstances.
Right. Yes, perhaps he just...
We don't know any of the details of any of this.
He just wanted to be tutored, perhaps on the ways of living in a new town.
Absolutely. Find friends wherever you can get them.
Hello,
Don. Touch a hand. Don't want to read more into anything.
Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah, hey.
Hey, you were cheated last week when you were playing Xbox and got spanked by that guy. He cheated. It's called modding. And they buy these modifiers, and that's how he can see your plays while you do them. You're not supposed to be able to see them. He buys the modifications.
Now, hold on. I know that this is something that only interests me, so, Mike...
Who is the guy, though?
Give me 30 seconds.
Who's the NFL player, Don, you were playing against?
Willis McGahee.
That's right.
McGahee. What this guy's saying is that... and I've read something about this on the Internet. Okay, let's have this for 30 seconds. Go.
Yeah, he cheated.
Okay. How do you get the, what do you call the thing again?
It's called a modifier. They're called, the guys that do it, they're called modders. That's their...
Explain to me how it could work that he would know my plays because he would say through the headset...
Go online and you can look up modifications for Xbox and you can buy one yourself. And when you plug in your play, he can see it on his screen. That's how he knew, oh, you're going to option to this. That
oh, okay. Our time for nerd chat is over.
So you think, thank you. Do you think that you were modified?
Hey, listen, I'll tell you, I'm not great at that game. I don't suck that bad. And I wasn't exaggerating.
Do you think there's a chance?
Well, I told you when I was listening to the guy on the headset.
He knew your plays you were calling.
I would line up in a different formation. And he would say, I remember hearing like, oh, it's the wide out to Marvin, play action, wide out to Marvin, rotate the safeties. I mean, I heard him saying it.
Do you think that, what was his record? Did you see his record? Did you know what it was? Was he undefeated?
It was like something, like 205. He was in one of the big advanced rooms. You got to get yourself one of them modifiers. Not me, Mike. I play by the rules.
Like Jim Nance, by the rules. And these brackets, guys... Not right.
I play by the rules like three great men. Jim Nance.
Nancy.
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Greg Gillespie. We'll be back. We'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
First of all, membership is for life. Take your time, change your mind, you'll never be rushed. Although usually our members find their princess in around 6 months or so. If she gets hit by a train 10 years from now, it's a lifetime membership. you're reinstated for free.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the munchies.
Try to understand. Try to understand. Try to understand. They are magic men. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I've been in the right place.
Greg Gillespie.
But it must have been the wrong time. I did the right thing. But it must have been the wrong time.
People at the station are going nuts.
No. Yeah, well,
he's
that's
hated,
what happens.
He's hated by a lot of people already. No. Maybe it's just his swinging cock of the walk attitude.
That might have something to do with it.
But I won't name the people that have been coming up to everybody.
Joyously coming up to you?
Yeah. But the latest I heard from unnamed sources is that he is in his office. His door is shut. He is on the phone. He is yelling.
Ah, okay.
Oh, we're petrified.
Well, let's see what happens. See what happens.
We are petrified.
More to come.
I guess so.
Or maybe not. I think not, actually.
We'll see.
I mean, never any more to come, to be honest with you.
I mean, hopefully he's learned his lesson.
I mean, you know,
I would think so.
Just the facts, man.
We're not looking to cause trouble.
We're not. Clearly.
We're really
not.
It's just, dude, back off. Back off.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Mike O'Mara's boss. Hi. Maker's Mark, please. I'm Mike O'Mara's boss.
Dick. I mean, really, what kind of a guy does that?
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. Honey, I what can I say? They're lying. Honey, I'm telling you, my hand on the Gideon Bible, they are lying. I am their boss. I'm going to have them fired today.
Today.
I'm going to
consider
have them,
it done.
They're going to be taken off the air at your earliest. What, darling? What, darling? Hello?
We don't know the circumstances.
No, we don't.
That's one thing we do not know. No. At all.
Well, he's a guy who likes being on the radio. He's demonstrated he likes being around us and likes...
Wants to be your friend. And
mm-hmm.
Participating in the show.
I think we made it clear on the air and maybe in private also that we're very uncomfortable around program directors.
I think
really,
that's clear.
We really, for the last, how many years would you figure the kind 20. Of standard policy...
The whole time.
Program directors stay away.
But now, as I mentioned, it's in our contract. I mean, I hate to get to that level with the guy, but it's in our contract that says, like us or not, succeed or fail, there's no input as to who has... anything that goes out on the air. He has nothing to say. So please don't be a swinging cock of the walk and go out and scream to everybody that you're Mike's boss.
Mm-hmm.
Now, come on. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you think? Mike and I run around and go, we're your boss? I mean, really we are.
Yeah. And that's more of the egregious error than I think anything else. I think that's probably what precipitated this extraordinarily detailed observation.
You know,
by people that, you know, and here's a lesson for you, by people that I work with.
There you go.
Bingo.
Uh-huh. Right. You know, people at the restaurant.
Good lesson, that's all.
And, you know, gosh, hey, pal, you know, come on, be smarter, if that other thing is the way that it is.
That's
you know?
A lesson learned, too.
Don't be so dumb.
For you know what I'm saying? Situation. Sure. I think it's a good way to do it.
I mean, come on, you want a little something, you know. Right. Don't do it. We're like, she's going to get up on top of a hill and ring a bell. Mm. Tell everybody.
Right.
Hey, guess who just sent me an email?
Right.
Guess who just asked me out on a date?
Mm-hmm.
A jerk that was in here telling us that he's Mike's boss.
Yeah, the email was sent to my managing partner.
Right.
Yeah, you know, a guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, saying what? But he had called her, right?
No, he didn't. He did that after the email.
He called
the restaurant.
Then
called. Oh, I got you.
He called the restaurant.
He called the restaurant looking for her, right?
Yes.
Do I have the timeline correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Look around, Cafe.
That's what I got from Jeff.
Right.
So. Well, golly, I wish you'd come on the air and just answer some of these simple questions.
Of course. Don't think that's going to be happening.
Well, let's see if Andrew Flegel shows up, Mike. We went to the George Mason 13th grade college website.
Very good.
And here from the 2001 Mason Gazette. Is a picture of Andrew Flegel. This is something that Johnny pulled off the web, so it wasn't sent in and doctored by anybody.
The age looks like it could be right. And I mean, it looks like that voice could come out of his head.
The voice kind of matches the face.
Right?
So anyway, we'll see if that guy's going to come by or not.
Yeah.
Let's see who's on the phone. Everybody's on the phone. Everybody's on the phone. On the line.
Hello. On the line.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, Ted Gillespie used to be our consultant when I was doing a show. And he used to change our show every 6 months, every time he got a whim. It just drove me freaking crazy. To the point where when he would leave our, when he'd walk out of our meeting every 6 months.
We had to disqualify him. He's a radio guy.
Radio guys
can make it on the show. Sometimes it's a very subjective
case-by-case basis.
Hello, Don and Mike show. And if I was Gillespie, if I was me, I would change that guy's shoe after 6 months, too.
You actually made that determination based on your conversation.
You tell within the first 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Hello? Oh, Don and Mike show.
Before, of course, the eventual termination.
Hello? You're on the air.
I hear breathing.
How can we spell it out for you? You're breathing like Tony Soprano. Hello?
You're on the air.
Come on!
Uncle June!
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello there.
Did you guys have any take on Bill O'Reilly freaking out on the radio a couple weeks ago?
He freaked out? But doesn't he always freak out?
Indeed, regular. Define freak out.
Okay, some guy called him and started talking about Keith Olbermann.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
Competition on MSNBC. He goes... Right. I like your radio show, but at night I watch MSNBC. I like Keith Olbermann, and he dumped him. O'Reilly dumped the guy right away, and then he started saying how he was going to call.
Bye.
Thank you. As you know by now, I'm only interested in.
You cut him off right before he was getting to the good part.
I'm only interested in the petty stuff that involves me and Mike.
Otherwise,
people.
It's very boring.
Very boring.
Very boring.
Darling, don't bore us with that. Only if it involves us.
Very boring.
Oh, petty fights with people.
Boring.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Come on now.
Oh, you're killing us today. Hello, Don and Mike show. You're junioring us today. You're junioring us today.
That's right. Maramona, whatever you say.
Gatsara Maringa.
Hello.
Gatsara Maringa. That's what it sounds like.
Don and Mike show. Hello there.
Not dirty.
Hello.
You know it is.
You know what? I think the problem may be with the... telephone system.
Telephone.
System.
We're having a little problem with the maggot line.
Yeah, we are. So we'll figure that out. A lot of people I know are calling about The Sopranos.
Mm-hmm.
Really, what is there to say except it's great? Who wasn't disappointed after like the first 30 minutes?
Yep.
When you're going, God damn.
And it's, as I said,
slow.
I think I said to Rob today, I felt as though they almost did that on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
They lulled us to sleep. They said, oh, wow, this is really not going to end up. Oh, my God, he shot Tony.
Highlights, Ginny Sack. Love her that she's bigger, she's fatter. Love Johnny Sack, love the way he smokes cigarettes.
The shot of the tattoo on the breast.
Yeah, pretty
amazing. I mean, really, when that caller called with that, I forgot that was a moment, too.
Right. And listen, how many of you were like me? When you know something big is going to happen at the end, and you're waiting and you're waiting, you're thinking, is it the first guy that got killed? No. Then is it the guy that hung himself? Like, hold on. That guy's only been on one episode.
Right.
Nobody saw that coming.
No. Nobody saw that coming. Little self.
God,
there he goes.
Down goes Tony.
Oh, you know.
He's put on weight.
911, where's the emergency?
Great. Made the hour worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
Just amazing. I mean, these TV shows that can do that,
that
can keep that kind of on the down low. I didn't see it coming. Nobody saw it coming. It was great. Think about this. It's an offhand comment made by Dum Dum Regis Philbin. Now, a lot of people have screened this. I read a lot of reviews, but I purposely didn't want to read anything that would spoil it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I read from everything from the Los Angeles Times to the great Tom Shales from the Washington Post, all the glowing stuff, and always alluding to there are some big things that happen.
Right.
Okay. Remember, the day after Regis Philbin went to the premiere in New York, he got on the Regis and Kelly show, and he said, so I went to the Tony Soprano show, and it was great, and, well... a major character gets killed right at the end of the first episode.
Didn't he say that?
That's exactly what he said.
And he said killed. Yeah.
He said killed.
He's an idiot. I mean, really, that's him. That's in his little pea brain.
Although I would not put it past them if they killed off Tony. Although Mike gave me the perfect argument in The Office. You know, you don't have a show without Tony.
Well, who are you going to put in there? I was, you know, if they had somebody to replace it. You know, another little
Paulie Walnuts show.
Yeah, this show's dead after that. That's like Klinger on MASH. You know, as MASH lost more and more.
That's an insult to Paulie Walnuts.
Do you remember the episode with him and Christopher in the woods where they carried the whole episode? Yeah. Mike, and they designed a whole episode around those two.
You know whose fault that was?
Whose fault?
That was Christopher's fault, because you remember he wrote and directed
that
episode.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Kyle, that was horrible.
Or did Steve Buscemi direct it?
Steve Buscemi directed it.
That's right.
But maybe Christopher wrote that one.
It was horrible. But it was them trying to carry it. You know who I have noticed is the true angel of death on that show? The one that is always seems to do the most, or be centered around the worst part of it, is Silvio. Silvio, you know, he's the one that whacked Adrian, and he's the one that tells the guy he can't go to Florida, which means he's going right to his garage to
hang himself. After he got done telling him, or they all got done telling him, hey, just kill this one guy. No, Tony said to him, you know, kill that guy for me, and yeah, I'll take care of the Florida.
Wasn't it Christopher that was the liaison? Christopher was the liaison between him and Tony. But Silvio
way. Yeah, because Christopher said, yeah, you do this thing for me, I'll talk to T.
Yeah, so they use him, you know, to get that done, and then Silvio with the thing. But that Florida thing, it's a no-go. Yeah. You know, just really, really riveting. Really, and they're delighted to have it back on.
It was great.
Yeah, even after the first half hour, like, and after the first 40 minutes.
Everybody was saying the same thing that are real fans of the show.
Almost was calling you guys, saying,
this
I'm ready to bail. This is like American Idol. This is so slow. I thought at some point that they were actually helping people who hadn't watched before. Because it's like, you know, when you get the Melfi stuff going,
right?
Don't you remember when you tried to smother your mother?
Yeah.
Which rhymes. It's a smother your mother weekend.
And you know what is really an art form of The Sopranos is the dialogue at the wake. They have more scenes where they all stand around and they just have that random dialogue.
Funny stuff.
It's really good. Including Christopher's, like, AA sponsor.
Oh, that
which
guy.
Was great. That just guy, did not fit. Perfect.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, how y'all doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
Hey, I was just wondering if you noticed how much Tony's uncle looked like the guy in the Six Flags commercial.
He did.
Bye!
So many people look like that.
With his teeth out. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Guys, what's happening?
Hey.
Here's the scoop, man. Last episode first.
Bye!
All right, there's a lot of people saying that he might be dead. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Boy,
hey, Don,
I'm sorry, I just totally, completely lost my train of thought when that guy said
that.
Because if that's true, I don't know whether I like that or not.
Hello. You know, wouldn't, now I'm not saying it's going to happen.
But it certainly could. It's very plausible.
It would not surprise you, would it?
Not a bit.
Anything.
If that guy, David Chase, and let's say they film stuff with Tony that they can go back after he's dead, they can go back and say, gee, what happened? Let's reconstruct the last days of his life.
Flashback.
Yeah.
Forever. Yeah.
You can have Uncle June be like more with it.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Uncle June with it.
Gotcha, the Malanga.
Not like that.
I don't want that, though. I don't want it to be like going back.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, how about David Chase? He's a genius, right?
I think so.
Hey, when the guy hung himself, did you see where he urinated on himself also?
Oh, man, I wasn't watching it in high def.
Oh, well, then you missed it.
That was a genius moment.
Uh-huh.
Also very erotic. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
God.
Uncle June was talking about big pussy.
Well, no, I think Uncle June probably is 30 years away. But no, I take it back. Uncle June, yeah, he had the girl down in Boca Raton.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I was trying to make a big pussy
joke. That didn't end well, though.
Understand. I know, you're talking about the character.
Right. The character.
Not literal BP. Hello, Don and Mike show. BP. That's what GG was looking for. Some BP.
BP.
Looking for some BP.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yes.
You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi. I was calling about the
The mobster show that's on Home Box Office.
Stop. about Uncle June. On the post today, there was a conversation. He was online. And
wait, hold on. Hold on. Take a deep breath. Start again, please.
Okay.
All right, so the guy who plays Uncle June did an online chat today.
Yes. And what he says before he shoots Tony is a flashback from his life of some guy. You'll have to look on the post because I don't have access to it right now, but it's the guy's name and the pussy, but it's not Big Pussy.
Oh, it's Big Pussy's dad.
Sure, big pussy.
So he's saying a proper name? Is that what he's saying?
You know, Big Pussy Senior. Dad. Huge pussy. It's just Big Pussy.
Gotcha, Malanga.
Thank you for the attempt. Thank you for the attempt. We'll follow up on it. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. I got to do this. Be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, the muffler plant's gone too.
Yep.
Oh, come on, damn it. Oh, that sounds good. Melted chocolate inside the dash. That really ups the resale value.
I think you're going to be okay here. They have a thin candy shell. Surprised you didn't know that.
I think your brain has a thick candy shell.
Your brain has a shell on it.
Are you talking?
Shut up, Richard.
The Don and Mike Show. Pinch hitting for Lou Brock. Don and Mike.
Someday we'll tell you why that's funny. Now, you know me, I hate the pile on.
Yes, of course.
Gillespie is still upstairs, barricaded in his office.
All right.
You know, maybe we're finally done with him.
Who knows?
Just as maybe as this will be the swan song for him being involved with the show,
mm-hmm.
we can just take a moment out to read part of his book.
He did write a book.
Because, and, you know, so did Hitler. he mentioned very proudly, one of the first times we had him on the air, that he's written a book about
right.
programming radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The Process and Practice of Radio Programming.
That's right.
And I've been thumbing through it, and it is just the biggest load of like baby diaper poop that and I'm talking about.
So you like it?
I'm talking about a sick child,
oh.
a child that's had a touch of whatever is going on down at the daycare center.
Oh, that's terrible.
You know, when they come, let me just say, the greenies.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean.
The greenies.
You know, when you open up the Pampers and it's like, oh, hold on a second.
The greenies.
This is way too green.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not good.
Yeah,
that's not healthy.
This is like that.
Yeah, it is. And I'm debating now if we should read from the book today or read tomorrow after he tries to fire us.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Which he can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yes, hi there.
This guy Gillespie is such a tool. Oh, my God.
Captain Obvious here. Thank you.
Sorry. Hey, can we start a pool to see when he quits?
I don't think he'll quit, but I don't think he'll last.
No, he can't. I think he'll last till April 1st.
That's the prediction for the entire management chain of CBS.
Yeah. I predict that Greg Gillespie right now in his office is like the guy in The Sopranos last night that couldn't go to Florida.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
He's swinging, man.
That would be disturbing.
A little down.
Then I'd be like Silvio.
Yeah.
That Florida thing, not going to happen. Not going
to
happen.
No, it would have to be.
Listen, Don and Mike are really talking about me a lot, and you got to get them to stop. You got to get them to stop, Sylvia.
That's not going to happen.
but you told me I killed that guy. You told me.
Can't do it.
But you told me.
You're too valuable.
What spot?
God.
Let's see. Okay. You know, maybe I'll save that. Although, I don't know. I'm jacked up to read it.
I know.
It's so bad. I worry, is it too much inside stuff for one day?
We have had a lot.
Too much Gillespie for one day? Because this just exposes him as the radio idiot that he is, not the just overall human being idiot that he is.
Good to have.
All right. I'd rather talk about the very handsome Dennis Quaid.
Why Dennis Quaid?
Well, he takes his shirt off in a lot of his movies.
Yes. And where are you going with this?
I'm a Dennis Quaid fan.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on a website this weekend, and I read something about him, and I printed it out. He's not anorexic. According to Dennis Quaid, he's manorexic.
Manorexic.
Really? Yes.
Manorexic?
Dennis Quaid. Dennis Quaid. I'm going to read you from this website, okay, that quotes Dennis Quaid. My arms were so skinny. This is when he, remember when he lost all the weight to play the
Doc Holliday?
Right, okay. Right. So they're asking him, how did you do that? He says, my arms were so skinny I couldn't pull myself out of a pool. I'd look in the mirror and I'd see a 180-pound guy even though I weighed 138 pounds. For many years I was obsessed about what I was eating, how many carbs, how many calories, how much exercise I would have to do. Mm-hmm. He now is claiming that he has manorexia.
Manorexia.
Okay. He made it up. He's got a book coming out.
Has he tried to gain the weight back? All he has to do is talk to his brother, Randy.
Randy should have some tips.
Randy doesn't pull himself away from the buffet bar.
No, so anyway, it's
manorexia.
Manorexia.
Wow.
The book will be in some magazine, Best Life magazine. I've not heard of the magazine, that's where they will have the excerpt of the book.
I saw Dennis Quaid coming out of a bar one time, and he was being assisted. And he looked like he had one of those little berets on, you know, that the celebs were wearing a while back. And,
you mean like the Sam Jackson, like the
kind of that look, right? Right. Kind of that. And he appeared to have someone on his right arm and his left arm and was being assisted.
Huh.
He looked like he was a little wasted.
He's thin and weak. Well, Don, let's see. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello,
speak to us.
Don, Mike, Buzz.
Hi, howdy.
How are you?
Okay, don't slow the show down, please. Just speak. Hi.
Hey, I was having dinner Saturday night with my wife, and sit down, order a drink. All of a sudden, I hear this booming voice behind me, and I think, no, there's no way he came all the way to Manassas to have dinner. And I turn around and look, and there's Greg Gillespie.
So you were in Mike's joint, you saw him.
Yep.
And I hope you have some great story about how he grabbed a woman's breast or something. Because if not, you're about 1 second away from Barney Fife.
You know what? I missed that part. And I wish I had.
There he goes.
There you go. That's how you do that. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, how you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Hey, first of all, I'm a big fan, man. I appreciate that, too. Thanks.
Thanks.
Hey, yesterday I was listening to Goss's Garage on a little trip to the store. A guy gets on there. I think he might have been one of your fans. He says, I think there's a problem with my Volvo, and somebody told him right at the back. And Goss was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
Bye!
That's the case. No, don't do that to Pat Goss.
Those automotive terms.
I mean, wait until Jay Severin tonight. at our website, dynamicwebsite.com, I think you'll like it. We have a new server. We have more bandwidth.
Right.
We've reorganized the audio page.
Very efficient.
Made it much easier to organize the MP3s. Made it much easier for you to get the daily log of the show. And also, please be checking out our email section, which is now even being updated during the show. And people have questions about the new format for the website, the way it's been tweaked.
So it's been streamlined a lot, right?
Yeah, that's all. It should be a lot easier, including getting the highlights off the computer and getting them onto your iPod or whatever you want to burn them onto.
Right.
When you click on today's show log, today is March 13, you will see a picture. I know you've heard the story, but I just wanted to show you the picture of Osama bin Laden's niece.
Oh.
That she wants the show living, growing up bin Laden.
Mm-hmm. You know what she looks like? She looks like a young Baruch Zarak's mom.
Yes. Yes.
You know what she looks like to me? Guilty. And I don't mean like Dakota Fanning. You know
right,
what I mean? No. I mean like guilty of bad stuff.
Ah. Mm.
That's what I'm saying.
So she's trying to be a superstar, right? She's trying to make a name for herself?
She wants her own TV show, and that's her picture, if you care at all what she looks like.
If you make me a star, Don, if you make me a star, I will give you a Marlboro Light.
A Barus.
And a cinnamon stick.
And also over the weekend, I was looking on some website. The show Rockstar is coming back.
Yes.
And I'm only interested in this because they keep saying that Van Halen's going to do it. You know what he did with
Van Halen? Are they going to drag Eddie out for that?
Well, they
good old Eddie?
They have made, at least according to one of the sites I was looking at, a decision that does not surprise me.
Okay.
Now, this one I believe.
Because, you know, NXS started this bad reality show to find a new lead singer.
Right.
And they keep saying Van Halen's going to do it, and they're not. Tommy Lee has decided he's starting a band and would like to have a new lead singer.
Now, Tommy Lee would be, you know, somebody who's got experience in that, so it wouldn't be bad. He's done crappy reality TV before, so, and of course, the ultimate online video.
Yeah, right.
Great. Wake up, rocker right. Tommy Lee. Tommy Lee goes to George Mason.
Don't forget to drive the boat.
Tommy Lee drives the boat with it.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I have a question for Buzz.
I'll try. Go ahead.
I was looking on the website. What color hair dye do you use? I'd like to get that shade.
A cold black.
Cold black?
Yeah, cold black. Is that, it's called cold black?
Cold black.
All right, thank you very much.
Bye!
Now, Buzz, what's the real color you use?
I don't use hair color.
Pshaw.
We've had this conversation before. You've studied my silver hair. I'm a little overdue. I ran out of mine, and that's why my beard is now Santa white.
Homo.
I'm going back to the darker shade.
Don't do that.
I enjoy it.
Don't do that.
I enjoy it. It makes me feel good.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey, I tried to get through when you guys were on the bubble whether or not you should talk about the Gillespie book or not, but everybody really wants to hear it, man. We really like to hear you read this donkey's book.
Ladies and gentlemen, the spokesman for the entire listening
audience.
Hi! Oh, yeah. There you go. Well, hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, so, Don and Mike, Greg Gillespie's conscience calling in. I'm sorry. I love you guys. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I'm a little hoarse. I've been yelling. I feel real bad.
Bye.
Not lonely.
Scenes we'd like to see.
Sure.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey guys, you see the fat guy last night with all the food on the buffet? All he had to do was grab that hot dog.
There was a scene. Oh. Didn't you mention that earlier?
I mentioned.
Did you miss that in the office or on the air? I forgot.
No, it was in the office. The guy.
It's a great moment.
The guy who last year on The Sopranos was half a fag.
Right.
When Meadows' boyfriend caught him giving oral to another guy.
Right.
That guy lost. It looked to me like maybe like 100 pounds.
Looks like he lost a lot of weight.
Still a fat guy,
right.
But he lost
weight. Great when he was wearing the shiny suit. That was fantastic.
Yeah. So they showed them at this little buffet with fast food at Bada Bing, and he picked out just a hot dog. And
he
goes
walking by the camera.
And I thought it was like a homoerotic thing because, you know.
You know, that is true, though.
That's what I thought.
Now, on that level, that's probably, I mean, this guy is doing so many different things, David Chase, that maybe that was there, too.
Sure.
A lot of other people were saying that was kind of a takeoff on that he's losing his weight because of the Atkins diet.
Right.
He's not eating, you know, he takes the hot dog out of the bun. But
I thought it was a homo thing. I swear to God.
I think it could be both.
Yeah,
it really could be.
And the other thing.
Notice how many FBI how many rats are dying on this show?
How many what?
Rats are dying.
Oh, yeah.
Bye!
Yeah, well, right from the first guy, you know, that caused the whole thing at the funeral parlor. To, you know,
I love when they say he's one of the, man, times have changed. He was old school. You know, you don't see that anymore. You know, he was the biggest rat of all.
That's right.
Getting ready to go to trial.
Did they say he was like a WRAT or something? Who's the guy?
Well, they made reference to WRAT radio, yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great, but boy, ever since that guy called, said they're going to work their way backwards, I sure hope they don't do. I don't want to see that.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
You know, that show last night is very much like our show today. It's going to be slow moving, and you're going to wonder, when are they going to get to it? Wait until like 5 till 7, when Greg Gillespie comes in and shoots us.
There's the payoff.
That's
then.
It.
Gotcha, Malanga.
Oh!
Hey!
Gillespie!
Yeah.
Don't go hide in the closet. Put your teeth back in. Hey, Gillespie. Why are you hanging out? Gillespie.
911, where's the emergency?
And he's out by then. Tony's out at that point.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Oh, boy, what is this?
That's a radio turned up.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Hello, Don and Mike. Is that another radio turned up?
Sounded like it might have been. You know, yeah, that Uncle June, it cuts right through.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hi, buddy.
In the radio file, I got a quick scoop for you. Dan Snyder's bought some radio stations to broadcast the Redskins on.
Okay,
only we've known.
Now,
wait a minute. Are you making a joke?
No,
are you making like...
He bought the Spanish...
But no, are you making...
Hey, stop. We don't want to shoot you. We don't want to taser you. We don't want to yell at you. What you're announcing as breaking news has been reported in the Washington Post.
A month ago.
Front page.
Okay, boo-boo.
Would you want to bring my wife into this? Dumbass?
Are you serious? You thought that was breaking news?
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, that would be the equivalent of you calling today and saying, hey, Don and Mike, Pittsburgh just won the Super Bowl.
That was a major media story here in Washington, D.C. We have had guys leave here and go to work for that company because they've got a new radio group.
Right. You don't have a scoop. You accept your hand. You've got no scoop. Okay, boo-boo?
Okay, let's terminate conversation.
Very good.
Forever.
I'm still a listener, not a caller.
Very good. All right. Although we can stand to lose a few.
Well, he's, you know, and he got a little bitter there at the end. There's no reason for that.
Bye!
Please. Come on. Please don't.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Please.
Hey, one more product placement was the Nestle Quick that suddenly appeared.
Oh, yeah.
On the train.
Yep. Yes,
where was
right.
The, oh, yeah, the Nestle Sopranos, Quick, right.
And that whole scene with the train, what gives? Come on.
I would love the smoking gun to do a little research and let us know how much that's worth, because I think it's a pretty closely guarded secret with these networks as far as what the deals are, because they're not like when they come out and say you're going to spend this much for the Super Bowl commercials.
Well, like,
I think these are you know, really kind of shadier deals.
I know that, is it BMW? They have a deal with Universal Studios.
Right.
Where every movie that comes out, they get first right of refusal saying, do we want to put BMWs in these movies.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that it's, we all know it's a common practice.
It is a common practice, but you know, when you played the Porsche thing last night, I would love to know what the deal is with that.
Driving them. Yeah. Although I noticed Tony's still driving his Escalade.
He's got his Escalade.
Sure.
My man.
Hey, you know, you had, you've got the, but it's a GM product, like the Vette that the other lady was showing.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. How are you?
Hey, buddy.
I was thinking if Don wants to really compete in the online gaming world, he's got to get one of those modulator deals like that other guy was talking about.
A modifier,
that's it.
Yeah.
It's got to be the equivalent of online steroids.
Because
if you're not cheating...
Bye!
Okay, bye. Listen, no. Don't say if you're not cheating, you're not trying. Sir,
I hate that.
I don't want to play with cheaters.
That's right.
And you're pretty well sure now that guy said was true, that the guy that beat you probably had a little technology
because
advantage.
I was not exaggerating the score. It was 60-3, and I could hear him on the headset even when I would line up in different formations.
He was looking at you through the TV. And he was actually looking at you.
Remember.
Had a little camera in the TV.
Cheaters never prosper.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Greg Gillespie.
See if he's ready to talk.
Speaking of cheaters. Come on, he's our boss.
Not quite 5:30 here.
Hi, I'm Mike O'Mara's boss. Maybe you've met me. I have the junkette. She works for me.
I'm sorry, I can't take your call right now. I'm on the other line or out of the office.
Yep, still upstairs screaming.
Mm-hmm. More to come. Or maybe not, as we said before.
Yeah,
we'll just more to come, maybe not.
Tune in tomorrow.
Let's just see if anybody in the back has heard anything, then we'll move on. That would be our back office we're trying to dial.
Our buzzing, humming back nerve center.
That's right.
That number, if you ever want to call it, is 2888. Dial it from any telephone.
Mm-hmm. Feel free. You'll get right through to John or Joe.
All you got to do is get the line that dials.
Hopefully you have a better phone.
I would assume if you're at a payphone in Anacostia, you'll have better luck than we're having right here.
See? 2888, and it rings right back through to Yanni.
I was getting ready to come in.
Hi, Yanni.
Hi.
So, is there lots of chatter in the hallways?
I don't know if you'd call it chatter. I did have a report that he was off the phone and wandering the halls.
Ah, all right.
No, but he's not made his way down here, huh?
There must be a rock he's hiding under somewhere.
Johnny.
I'm sorry, did I say that?
No, you didn't.
Thank you, Yanni.
Bye.
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 Wow. Oh, my. Oh, my.
All right, let's see. What do you think? Do you think we got time for this today?
No, I don't.
I don't either. I don't either.
What are you guys talking about?
You wish you knew, don't you?
you dick!
Thank you. Thank you. I wear your dick
as a badge of honor.
Oh, God.
I wear your calling me a dick.
As a badge of honor. Always have to say it like Quail, too. As a badge of honor.
Dick! Your dick. It's a badge of honor.
It's a badge of honor.
Badge of honor.
Where'd he ever go? I'd like to see him resurface. He was fun.
Thank you, Mr. Herman.
Thank you, Mr. Quail. Thank you. Mr. Potato Spelling Quail. Where are you? You vanished into oblivion.
All right, let's break. When we come back, we can talk about just about anything. We can even talk about stupid Bush. No, but you got plenty of next stepping,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, plenty.
I was just noticing, wherever they did the straw polls this weekend, this is strategy by McCain that I think makes people look stupid. When the results came out for this first straw poll for the Republican presidential nomination, 10%. When the thing was on TV, and again I was out of town, so I'm just watching a TV where it's muted, and I'm not really able to hear the dialogue. It's just closed caption, but I see NBC News straw poll, whatever. President Bush to be reelected in 2008, 10%, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, hold on, how stupid are these people? It wasn't until later when I read the newspaper and I read the full account that McCain said, hey, I think it'd be a good idea to support the president right now, who really needs our support.
Yes,
so why don't you just show him your support and write in his name to show him that you really care about.
Because McCain's strategy, right, is that he's aligning himself more with Bush to get that group, and then count on the other people that are kind of liking his ideas.
See,
I don't like that strategy.
See, McCain knows that Bush is an idiot, and McCain has been kissing Bush's ass for the last 4 years, and like every time he does something stupid, McCain has to come out and say, okay, he's stupid, but he's not really that stupid.
Not that bad. Right.
Not that bad.
And I like a lot of Democrats. I like McCain.
He's playing the game, though.
He is pulling the party line. He is basically having the cake and eating it and doing a good job.
But why would you tell people it makes America look stupid.
Why don't you make him feel better? Tell him you'd vote for him again, even though he can't be reelected.
I mean, really, why not just say the name Mickey Mouse?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. Why not make Greg Gillespie the name?
That'd be fine.
Yeah.
That would be just fine.
How about Junior Soprano?
Gotcha, Malanga.
I cannot believe how much that guy ruined it for me.
I thought thinking it might be backwards to front.
He's probably wrong. I'm not going to dig it if it's back to front.
I know.
I think that's what
no
makes
one will.
Sense.
It does make sense.
It makes a lot of sense.
Nobody's going to come to the house, right? He's not going to get lucky.
The thing is if you dial 911, they can trace.
They know your address, so they're on the way.
So they can trace a 911 call?
Yeah, they're on the way.
I'm not saying he'll be dead next week.
No.
But
if you know that would
they kill him in the first month?
That's so hard.
Because
to
remember, they like I said, they could bring him back through, you know, like memory sequences and, you know, going back and saying, what happened here? Do you remember when this happened? Do you remember when this happened?
It's an awful lot of flashback. I mean, that's an entire season based on flashbacks.
They have a dozen episodes coming up here, and then they have eight more coming up in a year after
I know.
I hadn't heard the theory until this very day, but the introduction of Janice's baby gives it such a perfect timeline that they could go back 9 or 10 months.
Didn't I say to you, though, when we talked about the episode, don't you think he might be dead? I mean, not last night. We didn't speak last night.
We never speak on a Sunday. The day of rest.
The Lord's way.
It is the Lord's way.
God's
way.
Never speak
out of what he said.
God.
But I'm not sure you did, but because I've not thought about that until today.
Oh, and you know,
I said it.
Here's another thing. It's not just how pathetic my life is. Yeah. I had a chance to read the King James Bible.
In the hotel?
How was it?
Over the weekend?
That's a really good Bible.
Do you finish it?
That's one effed up Bible. I mean, I know there's New Testament and stuff.
Right. Well, what is the... Isn't the King James the...
The King James is the one that's like, you know, if you work on Sunday, we can kill you.
Right.
Is that...
Well, the King James...
And the King James one also, speaking of Greg Gillespie, is the one that says if you commit adultery, we can kill you.
Oh.
God. I say, I see, the cheese stands alone.
we're soaking it in.
What is, anyway. Is King James just a version?
Yes.
Yeah, it was like,
it's
it
not
was,
like the Book of Mormon.
It was the first. It was the first draft.
The Old Testament.
Yeah. I was reading the very, very, very Old Testament.
Okay.
Ancient Testament.
Sure. Yeah. Bunch of crap. I mean, I could almost get going on my whole Catholic thing again.
Oh, please don't do that again.
You know how that
please,
makes
that hurt my feelings.
Who would you rather have it be? Catholics or Gillespie?
Oh. You know my choice on that one.
Yeah. Boy, do I. You think he's a Catholic?
I have no idea.
I bet he is.
I don't know.
He's slimy enough, he could be.
Oh, now see, that's see.
Oh, my God.
Come on, it's mommy.
Kidding.
It's mommy.
Oh, it's mommy.
You know, and you said, and she probably didn't tell you what went on. You remember when you said that?
No.
Stay with me all weekend long. It hurt my feelings.
Your mom didn't tell you?
Yeah.
What went on where?
She's a very devout Catholic. She's probably not telling you everything that she did. It's something like that, you know?
I wasn't implying your mom was like whoring.
Well,
or
that's
something.
What it sounded like.
Well, that's how you took it. I would not say that about your mom.
Dear
I would
sweet
say that
volunteer
I would, hey,
hospital.
I would say that about your sister.
Stop.
What I mean is,
you are revved up today, my friend.
I draw the line at your mother.
You know what I'm going to say if you
your
keep talking
sweet
like this,
mother.
You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say, "Batsa gagaraga, gatsaga malanga."
Mike, you done shot me.
I felt awful.
I never talk about your mama.
I felt awful for a good 30 seconds after I got in my car.
30 seconds.
Well, until I got the first, you know, and you know I keep booze in the car.
In the glove box.
Then I struggled to find the phone.
911, where's the emergency?
In my pants. We'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
I just like to dedicate one of these tapes to him. Busy bee around here today.
Very busy.
Are you seeing Buzz?
Not sure. I can't take your call right now. I'm either on the other line or out of the office. Yes, please leave your name and number at the tone, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thanks.
Excuse me. I'd like to say I'm really glad and proud to be here tonight.
It's wedding
true
toast.
True love is hard to find. Sometimes you think you have true love, and then you catch the early flight home from San Diego, and a couple of new people jump out of your bathroom blindfolded like a goddamn magic show, ready to double team your girlfriend, and it stops
right there. And it continues right here because I think what my friend Mitch is trying to say is that true love is blind. So raise our glasses, whatever we got in front of us. Salute, health and happiness. Cheers, everybody. I love you so much, Frankie.
I love you. I'm not a talker. I love you. Congratulations.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
I gotta say this. Here's a lady that would be calling right about now, right on the show, right on the show. She'd be saying to you, okay, honey,
that's enough right now. Yeah. She'd be saying that.
Can't call now.
I know, but you know, am I right or am I right about that?
Radio at the lowest price possible, consistent with quality. The Don and Mike Show.
You're right. By now, Frida would have called and said, okay. Yeah. And I would have said to Frida exactly this, okay. Just let me read from his book. Put my glasses on to read.
Okay, here we go. It's a book about radio.
Process and Practice of Radio Programming by Greg Gillespie. Greg Gillespie would like to thank, and then he goes on and on, many people in radio.
Sure.
This is his dedication in the book.
Mm-hmm.
My mom, dad, sisters, for putting up with the loud music at the late hours. My wife, Kathy, for continuing love and support. even in times when radio takes me away from home. Like when I go to O'Mara's.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
That's not in there.
I'm just not in there. I'm just reading.
Oh, no.
Well, no, the first part was.
Yes, I know.
The first part, the dedication was there.
I know. Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Come on, it's
fun. Oh, dear.
He's the boss.
Dear me, he is my boss.
The Tony Danza show.
What was said? Yes.
He's the boss. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Michael.
Yes, Beluga.
You knew who?
Yeah, Beluga. What can I do for you?
Oh, it's your girlfriend's dog.
Had a very nice weekend with you, Beluga. I thought you were very cute this weekend.
Thank you so much. I just wanted to let you know that I left you some friendship marketing in the credenza.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Credenza. Beluga.
I want to have good news about my dogs as well.
Yeah.
They did not eat, bite, or maim any people or other animals.
That's great. That is wonderful.
While I was out of town on Saturday night.
That is wonderful.
It's
good.
Ain't that marvelous?
Marvelous.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Although I woke up this morning. Hello? Yeah, hold on 1 second there, please. I woke up this morning to, the weather here in D.C. has been beautiful the last couple of days.
Gorgeous.
Among most of the country, in the eastern part anyway. And it was like 80 degrees, and the dogs were outside and rolling around in the grass and having a good time. And I got up this morning and I saw that Colonel Klink had eaten a lot of grass, and there was that dog puke that's bile. Almost looks like someone poured some chicken soup on the floor and let it dry there looks like really somebody had cut the grass and just taken some chicken soup,
right,
poured it out, and then just put some blades of grass on top of it.
Right.
You know, and I went
grass,
over
I think grass makes dogs puke. Because every time I've had dogs that eat grass, they always upchuck.
It does. And I went over to him and I said, my German Shepherd. Said, oh, you poor boy. Mm-hmm. I talked to him and I go, oh, my boy with the cataracts. Where's my boy who can't control his temper? Where's my boy on the doggy pack? So, oh, did you have these pukies? Look at these pukies. And it wasn't until I got to the pukies that the gag reflex totally kicked in.
Oh, there's nothing worse. There's something worse than say, how's the other end doing?
No, the other end is fine.
Good.
And I will take the grass poopies over him, like biting another dog or taking the dog's eyeball out.
Or the other end, too, right? Isn't the dog poopy more acceptable? Dog puke.
I'll take vomit.
In a minute.
Any day.
Uh-huh.
And I'm talking hard or soft.
Right.
Hello, Donna. No, let me take that back. I would take dog number two if I had to clean up a mess in the house. If it's just there, like your classic gag dog poop.
Uh-huh. Right.
I would take that over cleaning up vomit.
Right.
However, if it's dog vomit versus doggy poop that's wet,
right,
vomit's your big winner.
The only issue I had with Beluga this weekend was last night. It was after The Sopranos. He was amazingly frisky. He wanted to play. He was playing. We were watching The Sopranos on the bed. It was over. He turned around and literally broke wind in my face, about a quarter of an inch from my face. He turned around with his little Beluga butt, and it was just silent. And horrible. Because the tiny little dog, doesn't matter the size.
No.
This dog, his constitution is such that he will do that 15 times a night.
Same thing with Nicole Richie.
Wow.
Now that she's down to 80 pounds.
Uh-huh. Even though she's small, they're still horrible.
Comet, it makes your mouth turn green. Comet, it tastes like Listerine. Comet. It makes you vomit. So drink your Comet
and vomit today. Love that
Thank
one.
You. Thank you.
Milk.
Lemonade.
Around the corner.
Fudge is made.
Also
drink. Mike.
Yes.
What did you have for breakfast this morning?
Rubber balls and liquor.
What did you have for lunch?
Rubber balls and liquor.
What are you going to do to your girlfriend tonight?
Rubber balls and liquor.
You've just heard the repertoire, Mike and I, back when we did a show back in grade school.
It's wonderful. We were the hit of fourth grade.
Sure. Hello, Don and Mike show. Now, Don. Thank you for waiting. Yes, sir.
Don, Mike.
Yes, hi.
Rob Buzz.
Hey.
Hey, I think Uncle Junior shot Tony because he was paranoid about that $40,000 in the front yard.
Yeah, we covered that. We actually covered that. That had something to do with it.
And also, product placement. Heinz ketchup bottles on the dinner table. Remember seeing that?
It could be.
I don't know, but I'm sure that you're right.
Every little thing these days.
Sure.
You know, whenever anybody calls about The Sopranos, I remember another detail, and it's like, moles! Moles eat through the irrigation system.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
You got moles?
Hello. Don and Mike.
Don, I want to talk about the mod chip.
About what?
About the Xbox and people telling you that you could be modded.
About the mod chip. We got a real one here.
Bye!
All right, so why don't you call on the day when I wear my Batman suit in? The mod chip. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike Radio Gods of Squan. Hey, Mike, congratulations, buddy.
On
officially being a fag. You little beluga butt. Oh, the boo, you're so frisky. You're such a homo, dude.
Wait, why am I a homo for saying I like the dog?
What's the connection?
He's sitting there wagging his little beluga butt. No, the boo boo.
What's the matter? I'm saying nice things about the dog ass. What's
it's
your problem?
Dog.
You're saying nice things about the dog ass.
Quit being a homo. That's the other thing. You are.
What am I saying? Nice. I said the dog broke wind in my face.
I'm still thinking about how they would look at a transcript. I was saying nice things about the dog ass.
Did I say that? Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, not the dog ass. I was saying dog, comma, ass, exclamation point.
However, it could be written in transcript form.
I am still trying to make the connection between me saying nice things about the dog, and you think that makes me a homo?
You a big fan of the Red Rocket, buddy?
Of what?
The Red Rocket.
What is the red rocket?
It's more pink, isn't it?
You know, when Beluga gets a little too excited.
Okay.
You know, I'll be honest with you.
Talking about the dog penis.
I've laughed at it. Incidentally, we're going to use the term. Use the right term. His lipstick. Thank you.
That's what we call it.
Much less.
Hello there.
Because it's more homo. Not that there's anything wrong with it.
John and Mike show. Right. Hello.
Hey, you guys were questioning Greg Gillespie's religion. I think from his dating practices, he must be Mormon.
Oh, no, I should point out no date ever occurred. Thank you very much. Nor, I believe, will it.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Evening, fellas.
Not for lack of trying on his part, though.
Hey, did you hear him talk about us on the show today?
I want to let you know about...
Was that a turn on for you? Yeah, I'm Mike's boss. Mike's boss. Hey, Junk Cat, don't forget, you work for me. All you chicks, you all work for me. Jesus, what a creep. Jesus.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay.
Want to let you know about
just another day at the office, sir.
I want to let you know about the dogs eating the grass. Usually they eat the grass because they have an upset stomach. They usually help cure the nausea.
Thank you. Animal Planet, thank you.
How many eggs can you eat, Lou?
Bye!
How long, Mike?
50. Hour?
Oh, hour. Yeah, I always get that screwed up. Hello, Don and Mike. How many eggs can you eat, Luke? 50. How long?
Just remember, most dogs eat grass because they have an upset stomach.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Greg, you didn't leave me your phone number.
Oh, now someone wants to do a little impromptu improv theater.
Hello. Or was that real?
Don and Mike show.
It might have been real, Buzz.
Don and Mike.
Not really funny. Nothing funny at all about
me. I'm sorry.
My family. My parents. My wife. My wife. Which is she? Where's that again? My wife, Kathy. For continuing love and support, even in times when radio takes me away from home. Like Saturday night. I was away from home.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Hello. You're on the air. Hello there.
Hey, Don and Mike. I just wanted to say.
What?
O'Mara's is a place the whole office can agree on. Even the boss.
Okay. Bye.
Get out of here. Stop it.
Everybody's having a good time.
People have embraced this story.
Don and Mike show. Hello, this is the Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, did you catch the Maserati product placement?
They had a Maserati? Johnny's back.
Yeah, right.
Got to sell the Maserati.
And he talked about Christopher buying it.
Yep.
Correct, Amanda, thank you.
And incidentally, Johnny Sack didn't like that one little bit.
Ooh. Although, really, it's not as much as the Sopranos, the Porsche stuff.
Right.
Pull that one out.
Porsche
here,
is the pure, commercial.
Clearly.
They all better be driving new Porsches on that show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike. Greg Gillespie upstairs. Hey, got an idea for the show. Wanted to bounce it off you.
Yeah.
Sherry Ellicott doing traffic. Brand new idea. What do you think?
Okay. Waiting for the punchline.
Apparently that was
Bye!
It. He's gone.
Gotcha. Okay. Now back to the Sopranos.
Porsche plugs.
Porsche, and I got some stuff I got to take care of. You okay to drive your cell phone?
I don't have my car, Tony.
Oh, yeah. So take this one.
Hey, Mrs. Ann.
What is this? Oh, my God. Is this the new Porsche?
It's a
Cayenne Turbo. I got the 4.5 liter V8. Wasn't sure about the color, so I took a shot.
Tony, I love it. It's gorgeous. I still wish you'd talk to that guy at the building department, but oh, my God. What a car.
You know, that would almost count even though she didn't say Porsche.
I know. Right? I mean, that is absolutely... Who didn't want one after that?
Sure.
What a car.
Is that you? Oh, the car. Yes. Porsche Cayenne. Like the pepper.
Like the pepper.
It's beautiful car.
That's after Ginny Sack is talking about the fact that she's getting calls from creditors.
Well, here I am. Is that a Porsche?
I had my eye on it for months. It's a gift from Tony. I thought about a Boxster, but I don't know. A vet, but more like me.
Boxster.
I know there's a million more, too, but that's the one that just jumped out. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Where's my Boxster?
Hi there.
I think that it's referred to the pink crayon, not the lipstick.
Well, in our household, we refer to it as the lipstick.
To your dog's penis.
Yes. When, you know, he's that way.
Hello.
Which doesn't happen as much since we got him fixed.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, this is Greg. I'd like to talk to Don and Mike, please.
This is Greg Gillespie.
Greg Grant.
Ah, Greg Grant. Oh, you fooled us there. Yes, Greg.
No, this isn't Greg Gillespie.
No, we knew it wasn't Greg Gillespie. What can we do for you, Greg?
I'd like to talk to Don and Mike.
How's your brother?
Fine.
Your brother Hugh.
Oh, yeah.
How about your grandpa Ulysses?
Your Uncle Lou. Your sister Amy.
Hey, come on, dude. You're talking to us.
Yeah.
How about your brother College?
Federal.
How about your other brother, A Wish?
Government.
Huh?
Good Eve. God damn, I've covered it all. Government grant, make a wish, whatever. Grant Good Eve. What's up?
Hey, I'd like you to check out the Wonkette website.
Are you talking about the fact that the military has banned our show?
Yeah.
Okay, that again, it would be...
Bye!
It would be old
last week, so.
Old news. Hello, Don and Mike show, but it was great talking to him.
It was wonderful. Look, we had the whole Grant thing that we got to do. Wasn't that fun?
His name was Greg.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Greg Grant.
Hello.
With you.
Did you get the Harman Kardon speaker placement?
The what? What was
Harman Kardon was in there too.
Where was
Harman Kardon?
The guy who hung himself. He jumped off a Harman Kardon speaker.
That's right.
Okay.
Oh, you win. That's the best Sopranos call today. That's the best detail.
That's pretty good.
I like that.
Thank you, my friend.
Now everybody wants those speakers.
Wow.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, everybody knows it's called the lipstick because the dog boys put it on their lips.
Oh, dear. And why do they do that? Because they can.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike?
Yes, sir.
Hey, this is Big Don Geronimo, everybody. Blue 128. Hey, women, get your slickers. Where's the Limby? Blue 128.
Bye.
That is the greatest impression of you I think I've ever heard.
Yeah.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
And it's me.
He made it up.
There's only one thing I'd like to say to that fella.
Gotcha, Malanga!
Done?
Yes.
What are these stories on news and comments today?
Tonight, the government thinks you should store tuna under your bed. The White House is tired. And how bigger breasts can get a guy killed.
Wow. Tony. What are you being such a big baby about?
Where's the emergency?
Stay tuned for news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Emergency in my pants. that was all very...
professional!
This is the Don and Mike Show.
My fat.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crestpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crestpot?
Jesus Christ. Can we hear that again?
What's the word from Planet Crestpot?
Didn't mean it literally.
Your round trip ticket to happiness. Don and Mike.
All right.
Coming up, Handsome Man recaps news in pleasing baritone. Stay tuned for this and more.
The Don and Mike Show.
Come on, everything's just going crazy now.
What's the word from Planet Crestpot?
Sounds good to me.
I know. Here is...
going.
Here is Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. The government has a plan for dealing with the deadly bird flu. It involves you storing canned tuna and powdered milk under your bed. That is the exact recommendation.
Not working out for this guy.
The recommendation of our Health and Human Services Secretary Michael Levitt in a speech over the weekend. The Secretary...
Where's the emergency?
Secretary of Agriculture seems to agree with his observation that, and I quote, there's no way you can protect the United States by building a big cage around it and preventing wild birds from flying in, end quote. And with that, the government's Project Tweety Bird was scrapped. U.S. spies...
Everything. Slow down, Buzz. You got 2 segments.
All right.
You know, sometimes, I love you, Buzz,
yes.
But it's just like, you've written it all down, you want to read it, you'll get to read it. I promise.
I know.
To everything. Turn, turn, turn. There is a season,
the birds, right?
Turn, turn, turn,
turn, turn, turn.
I hate the birds.
You don't like the birds?
I don't like.
What are some of their other hits?
Folk rock.
You don't like folk rock?
I do not.
What? Your Prairie League?
Jesus Christ!
I do. They're okay.
They suck. They're like Peter, Paul, and Mary with rhythm.
Amy, isn't that your friend?
Yeah,
But right. You want for right. A while, maybe longer. That's if it. I do longer, if I do now.
Gotcha, Malanga.
Oh, God! You shot me in the stomach for singing that Blue Prairie League. Buzz,
yes.
I guess what I'm saying to you as nicely as possible.
Uh-huh.
Slow down.
Absolutely.
4 days, 5 days.
How many days in the desert? And beat them through the desert. That's folk
horse
rock.
With no name. Horse with
that's
no
America.
Name. Horse with no name.
4 days?
America, I think, is pop. I don't think America counts as folk.
Oh, now see, that I think you're trying to have your cake and eat it too.
Kingo Folk, Bob Dylan.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Anyway, back to Buzz.
U.S. spy satellites are tracking the migration of infected birds, and they say they're headed this way faster than expected. The flocks moving north to Siberia and Alaska will soon mingle with birds that enter the U.S. mainland. And government officials say there's nothing we can do to stop it.
So, hold on. Now that you've read your card, now tell me.
Uh-huh.
Are we getting a bird flu, or is this where you just like to get everybody all riled up?
Actually, not so much me in this case as it is the government. Here you have the Health and Human Services Secretary saying stock up on canned tuna and powdered milk and put it under your bed.
So I have read anything from this. This may not even be something that can be transferred to humans.
That's possible.
To this will be the worst epidemic or pandemic
also possible
of modern history.
We're hearing both. You're absolutely right.
But
it's very confusing.
You see, you mock the government. So when you say
yes, I do.
That you're giving information that the government is giving,
would you go out and buy tuna and powdered milk?
No, I'm not going to go buy powdered milk and tuna and put it under the bed.
Buying powdered milk and tuna, putting it under the bed would indicate to me you literally are not leaving.
You know what that means for me? That means I'm getting laid.
What I'm unclear about.
We
don't follow.
They're both great sexual aids.
Tuna and powdered
milk and tuna. How could I possibly forget?
Wait, hello, what planet are you guys from?
I don't get that. Don't get the sexual aids. That's worse than the flu.
Not if you can avoid it.
Now, Buzz, I'm unclear about this. Some sort of superstition that if you put tuna and milk under your bed, you're not going to get sick?
No, I think what they're saying is what Mike just said is the implication here from the government is that we should all prepare to hunker down with canned tuna and powdered milk because we may not be able to leave our homes because of the dreaded deadly bird flu.
We're going
to
hunker down and have bad breath.
Well, here's
that's
the thing.
For sure.
Worst smoothie ever made.
Here's what we should really do. We should all get out our 9/11 kits. Right.
The duct tape and...
Still have lots of plastic sheeting.
Yeah, right. That blue stuff, that blue tarp stuff.
Keep it handy.
Yeah, okay.
Sure.
All right, but you...
To protect your powdered milk.
You don't like the government. See, that's the point we were getting to.
And that's the message here. And so we have one guy, this Health and Human Services guy, saying store a powdered milk in canned tuna. We have the Secretary of Agriculture saying, we thought about building a big cage around the U.S. to keep the wild birds out. He's not serious, of course, but this is the kind of thinking that we're hearing from our government officials.
All right, so in other words, if we get this, you got to deal with it medically. You have to deal with the vaccines.
Right.
But as far as, worrying about putting powdered milk, that's the same thing with the guy that said we have to duct tape our houses.
Apparently so. Again, the government telling us to stock up and prepare for the worst.
Unbelievable.
The World Health Organization, meanwhile, says fighting the bird flu may be, as Rob mentioned, a bigger challenge than fighting AIDS. It's already cost poultry farmers around the world in the neighborhood of $10 billion. No animal illness before it has ever spread this quickly or widely. Now found on 3 continents and 17 countries. There's still been no cases of human-to-human transmission, but in Germany and Austria, it has spread to cats. Can dogs or humans be far behind? We'll see. The UN's World Health Organization says that because the deadly bird flu virus is airborne, it spreads more easily than AIDS.
Hmm.
Disneyland Paris,
I would say get some tuna, powdered milk, and if it's spread to cats already, I'm very, very sorry, but everyone that has a cat...
if it gets the cats, I don't care. That's closed its run, as long as it doesn't get to the producers. Midnight.
That's no longer on Broadway.
And the kitties are sleeping.
Right. McCavity's not there.
Rum Tum Tugger? I'm onto something here.
What?
What do cats love to eat and drink?
Tuna and milk.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
That's conspiracy right there.
Right.
That's right.
Find the man that made that announcement.
Maybe the cats are behind this.
He's trying to kill us all.
Andrew Lloyd Webber is guilty!
Disneyland Paris, by the way, is being accused of covering up the death of one of the park's swans to avoid setting off a panic about bird flu. Some union workers made these accusations against Disney. Disney angrily denies that. Their French spokesperson calling the claims... unacceptable lies.
Merci, blah, blah, blah.
There's already a bit of panic throughout Europe about the bird flu. Now that it's turned up in a couple of cats, French cat owners have abandoned their pets by the hundreds.
Eisner, it's Smith.
Smith, how are you?
Sir, are you still involved with the company day to day, sir?
No. Smith, I'm on an island. I'm on Catalina, and I'm enjoying myself. Why are you bothering me?
I need your advice, sir.
Well, I only told you to call me about one thing, Smith.
We can discuss that after we discuss the fact that we've got bird flu whirbuzz in Paris.
Oh, yeah, they think so, yeah.
At the Paris Disney World, we got the bird flu.
There's bird flu? You mean people are going to die? Have Ovid take care of it. That's great.
Sir, I miss you.
I miss you, Smith.
We had a mishap on the teacup ride today, sir, and I miss your advice. Can I tell you? Let me turn this down.
Smith, fly to Catalina. Join me. I've got some wine and a strap-on.
I love you, sir.
Love you. Why do I need a strap-on when I've got me?
But, sir, we all know you're a eunuch.
That's true.
Sir, today...
Yes, Smith.
The man that's running the park...
Yes.
One of the teacup rides malfunctioned. A young child lost both limbs.
Oh, dear. Did they give them an e-ticket?
No, you're not going to like this, sir.
What happened?
We're not paying for hospital bills.
No!
Yes.
Foolish, Smith. When I ran that company with an iron fist, we would simply give them some plastic souvenirs and a free ticket.
I went over and I said, being as the child has no arms now, perhaps one of our leashes that we have.
Yes.
You know, the invisible dog leashes.
Of course, yes.
Tie
it to his foot.
A second, of course. A factory second. I said it was the Eisner way, and yes, they said we don't do things the Eisner way anymore. And then,
but I look forward to that company going out of business.
They called me a faggot, sir.
I gotta go. Walt is melting.
I love you, sir.
I love you, Smith.
Smith and Eisner.
Yes.
French cat owners abandoning their cats by the hundreds because when it comes to bird flu, France surrenders. Tamiflu doesn't cure...
Wait, hold on. You just went back to bird flu again?
Well, yeah. Okay. We're still on the bird flu.
We're not off the bird flu?
Not
yet?
Quite.
Boyd flu. Boy, there's a lot of bird flu. Dude.
Sure is.
Okay, so what about
you know how he gets when there's a panic about
it. Yeah, I know. He loves stirring it up.
Yeah. No, but we're done with France.
Okay.
Yeah, we're moving. We're circling the globe with bird flu.
So okay. The bird flu's in France.
Well, they think so, yes.
Yeah. Payback.
In Europe. Tamiflu doesn't cure the flu, any flu, but it makes it less severe. Even with bird flu, that could save your life. Now that more than five dozen countries have stocked up on the stuff, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld has made over $5 million in capital gains.
Ah, neck stepping.
Yes.
Okay.
He just sold some shares in the biotech company that discovered Tamiflu. Rumsfeld was chairman of the board at that company when he left to join the Bush administration. Since then, the value of his stock has grown, tripling in the last year.
I'm not dead yet.
That's right. Now, President Bush has promised to stay the course and keep the people he has, but that may not be the best plan.
Are you ready for some football?
Faced with all the old same problems and a few new ones like bird flu in Iran, the White House is tired. Today's Washington Post says White House staff is drained to exhaustion and battered by its own political consequences. The paper quotes one anonymous staffer as saying, "We're all burned out. People are just tired," end quote.
All right, hold on. Let's go live. the White House now. What's the guy's? Is it Scott McClellan? Is that the
McClellan? Is the spokesperson.
Scott McClellan? Here he is now, press secretary.
McClellan.
McClellan. McClellan. McClellan, you got a job to do. You better wake up. I can't wake him, sir. McClellan! Scott Angus McClellan!
Hold on, I'll take care of him.
Gotcha, Malanga!
Oh, there we go.
Yes!
Hey, Bones.
Hey,
Bones.
They're pulling my hair, Bones.
Uncle Jiggy shot me, Bones.
Said something in Italian.
911, Bones.
Where's the emergency?
The Three Stooges.
It's in Tony's gut.
The Washington Post says one White House advisor works at least 6 days a week on 4.5 hours sleep a night. So stock up on tuna and powdered milk because the giant birdcage idea is out. And as if the president doesn't have enough on his plate, a Democratic senator is calling on his fellow lawmakers to publicly scold the president for the warrantless wiretapping.
I heard George Bush likes to be the plate.
Oh, wow. I never heard that before.
I just made it up.
Wow, glass coffee table.
Censure him, as they call it on Capitol Hill. According Wisconsin Democrat Russ Feingold, this conduct is right in the strike zone of the concept of high crimes and misdemeanors. He says the president misled the public and then practically thumbed his nose at the American people once the secret was out.
Who said that?
Senator Feingold.
That's right.
Russ Feingold.
I'm a congressman consistent with quality.
We are aware that the president's policy should be rebuked in some small way so that perhaps we could let the American people know he's not doing a proper job.
I didn't watch The Sopranos. It's pay TV. I'm like Greg Gillespie. I don't get home box office.
No need to trouble myself when I can curl up. I'm sorry. When I can coil up with a good book. Consistent with quality. Tell them that Sammy Feingold's great-grandsons are you.
When we come up...
Thank you, buddy.
Yes.
You know, right at the beginning, you're going too fast. Right there, you're going too slow.
It's sometimes hard to judge.
I know. It's hard working with dicks like us.
That's the movie title!
It's hard working
no,
with dicks.
No, just dicks like us!
Yeah! And you know, you even use the song, the Paul song,
yeah,
Spider-esque.
Like
right. Dicks like us.
That's the one.
Ba-bam!
Call our agent. Call our agent, tell them that's the movie title.
We're hard to work with. Everybody hates us. Dicks like us. Dicks like us.
Woo-hoo! Walmart wants to open a bank. What could possibly go wrong? That's our story when we come back.
Thank you, Bob.
This is the Don and Mike. This is the Don and Mike Show.
A lot of shows come out of the gate big, but do you think this will last?
Totally. Everybody is talking about the show.
It's
huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's got buzz and all that, but it's also really good. So when people do show up, they see how great it is.
The Don and Mike Show. Princes of Peace. Don and Mike.
Buzzy, you'll stand by for one moment.
Sure.
You remember earlier in the show, Mike, your crap detector was wrong.
Yeah. Crap detector was very, very wrong.
Earlier in the show, I was discussing how George Mason University is the 13th grade.
Uh-huh.
Meant in a loving way, of course.
Just have a little fun, folks.
While discussing whichever team it was from the D.C. area, either George Washington or George Mason, when I was watching the selection show last night, they were pissed about where they were seated. Turns out it was George Washington, not George Mason. Ladies and gentlemen, and emotional. You know, she was married, maybe still is, to Richard Marks. The chick in the background. Where's the guy? Where's the
Andrew
dean?
Flagle.
The dean of admissions.
Dean of admissions called. I didn't believe he was the dean of admissions. He said he was going to come by.
I have his picture in front of me, and it is him.
It is him.
There we go. I am wrong, sir. Please.
I believe
accept
him.
My most humble apologies.
My great pleasure. Thank you.
Really.
How
really.
You doing? I'm Don.
Sorry.
I believed you.
Don. Nice to meet you.
And he looks, he's every bit the academic. Yeah. You can look at him, and he looks like an academic.
Looks like a dean.
He looks like a dean. A young dean, but he looks like a young
quite
dean.
Academic yourself.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Now,
and you got your George Mason lapel pin and everything.
Now, you know, so you called the show today. I'm talking about George Mason being 13th grade. I see the Joe puts up on the screen, Dean of Admissions. Right? So we go right to the call. Mike didn't believe it. I mean, let's face it, it's George Mason, so now I believe it. I mean, you know, the way you were talking,
right.
and I
thought you sounded too young to be a dean. I was used to deans being kind of Harry Potter, Dumbledore, that kind of thing.
It's
you know?
Just your calling reminded me very much of when we talk about a city like Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And we say, oh, it's a toilet or whatever. And then people call up and go, hey, we really like Sacramento.
Right.
You know, it's really a nice place. Why are you making fun of Sacramento?
And we're really not. We're just having a little fun.
Right? Well, there's nothing wrong with making fun of Sacramento.
Right.
Just
right.
to start with, I've been a fan of the show for so long and have never found a reason to call in, and it was just an excuse.
Now that's good. If you're saying that, then I understand
Absolutely.
That. It's just an excuse to call.
I love my school. We're a tremendous institution, but it was... getting a plug-in, but it was used to come in.
But George Mason did make the NCAAs. They did?
We did.
You did. Who do you play in the first round?
7th seed Michigan State.
Good luck.
That's
yes,
tough.
Thank you.
That's a tough draw. I'm not busting your balls.
I mean, that will be up against North Carolina.
It's a big deal for George Mason, right?
Boy, you... Yeah.
Wow,
you guys should have been mad.
Yeah.
Not George Washington. You got two great teams in front of you then.
Right. It's going to be an interesting road. If we make it past that, I would say that would be impressive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So tell me something. How many students are enrolled in burger flipping?
We have a very small burger flipping program, although it's quite competitive.
Yeah. More so than you would expect. It's quite competitive. I like that.
The SATs for that one are out of sight.
I give you all the credit in the world for coming by. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank
it's
you.
Nice when somebody that is really not part of our environment comes in here. I like that. We admire that. We really do.
Just tell me, you knew it was a joke, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, so you're just goofing?
Absolutely.
Okay, then if we're coming down, how about, let me see, NYPD Season 3 DVD.
Fantastic.
Beautiful.
Very
That's
good.
What I was hoping for.
Thank you, Dean. Thank you very much, Dean.
Thank you for coming down,
and
Dean.
And if the program manager could sign something for me so I could have that to keep.
Wow. Oh, he does get the joke, doesn't he?
Greg Gillespie. Speaking of, have you seen him with any of your co-eds?
No, although he asked for some numbers, I hear.
Was he over at the student bookstore?
I haven't seen him at the bookstore, but I saw his car outside the dorms. So I'm
Thank you, Dean.
The easiest way to identify him is he says he's Mike O'Mara's boss.
All right, get out of here. Thank you, Dean.
Thank you, Dean.
Nice meeting you.
Andrew Flagel from George Mason University.
There you go,
Mike. I am so wrong. I could not be more wrong.
What am I always telling you? Trust people.
I know. You know, Don, someday I will look at that glass as half full, but not now.
The way I do.
Damn it.
The way Junior and I do.
I love the way you says Uncle Joe.
And now again, here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. Your minimum monthly credit card payment is about to go way up. And you know who's fighting hardest to prevent that?
911, where's the emergency?
Two of the biggest credit card companies, that's who, Chase and Citigroup. New federal regulations are about to kick in that would require significantly bigger minimum monthly payments.
David Chase.
Right. But Citibank and Morgan Chase say the new rules might hurt them more than most.
Crook and Chase.
Okay.
Bye! Yeah, I just got hung up on it.
No, I give it to you.
Really? Do I win?
Crook and Chase.
Remember that? Nashville?
Nashville Network.
Right.
Do you know how far they have fallen? They are now doing a country music radio syndicated, like, middle-of-the-day show where they play records.
Really?
Yeah.
Crook and Chase.
Crook and Chase.
She wasn't that bad. He was like the fake mustache guy, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought he was dreamy.
Yeah, were you?
Dreamy in a Jeff Foxworthy way. Like a sophisticated Jeff Foxworthy.
Let's see what George Jones has to say about that.
There we go.
Citi and Chase say these new higher monthly minimums may hurt them the most because more people will be unable to pay the minimum, and that's where the profit is. The new rules are supposed to help people get out of debt. Paying a low minimum does nothing to fix that. But the new rules are likely to make more people default on their credit card bills. The credit card companies are even thinking about reducing their interest rates
to keep that monthly minimum lower.
Speaking of reducing, I forgot to say this today. 266 from 282.
Hey, well, hey, congratulations.
Math on that, I forget how many pounds that is.
Good job.
But it's what's that, 15 pounds? 16 pounds? Yes, yes. I'm very happy. Very happy.
Congratulations.
Now it's back to where I had initially lost that, and now everything else I will put towards my grand total, and we will see what happens.
Good work. Right, we'll stick with it.
Making good time.
Charlie Chase.
Walmart wants to start its own bank, and that has some lawmakers worried. They say Walmart's plan to set up an industrial bank could not only drive community banks out of business, it could destabilize the entire U.S. financial system.
Hugs are great.
Walmart wants to build a bank in Utah to handle electronic payment processing.
Welcome to the Walmart bank. Let me give you a hug. Hugs are great.
I'm the cookie. I'm the animated cookie. Who wants a home refinancing loan at Walmart?
There you go. 0%. Come on, it's free. Free money.
Free money at Walmart.
As an industrial bank, it wouldn't have to operate under the usual federal banking regulations. Quoting one of the concerned lawmakers, consider the consequences if Enron or WorldCom had owned a bank.
You've lost your life savings, but how about a big hug?
All of the greeters smell like death.
The fact is, GE and GM already have their own banks, and Target's application for one has already been approved.
We got 80-year-old tellers.
GE,
GM,
GG.
Coincidence?
I don't think so.
And now Target can own a hospital.
Yay!
Walmart can open a bank.
Right.
Target can open a hospital.
That's what's happening to America.
Bigger breasts kill a guy. That's our story when we come back.
All right, buddy.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt.
It's all been so
incredibly fascinating.
Yeah.
And entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
They are not going to ruin your goddamn day of joy. The Don and Mike Show.
Maybe. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. In sports, one of our favorite stories from the Winter Olympics involves the Alaskan high school boy who held up a banner as the Olympic torch passed by the TV cameras in his hometown. His banner read, "Bong Hits for Jesus." The boy was suspended for 10 days, got his banner confiscated for undermining the school's anti-drug program. He fought that in court and lost. But Friday, a federal court in San Francisco ruled that the school had violated the boy's First Amendment rights since he was off school property at an event to which the school was not connected.
Violation.
He gets his banner back. Mm-hmm. And finally, so here it is, as promised, how bigger breasts can get a guy killed. In Palm Beach, Florida, Cynthia Summers has pleaded guilty to murder. Police say she used arsenic to poison her 23-year-old husband while they were stationed in Southern California 4 years ago. She collected $5,000 from the insurance company, which she then used to get breast implants. She could get the death penalty, but at least she feels better about her figure.
Yeah!
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
What was it that I was watching this morning on Fox?
ABC.
Local. Fox 5, the morning show.
Right.
It was, okay, they had a woman out at a plastic surgeon's office, and they were teasing the fact that the biggest thing now is young high school girls that are getting boob jobs. And the doctor was saying how there was this one girl that came in, and he really didn't feel right because she was only, I think, 17. And then they mentioned that she turned 18 2 months later, and then he had a change of conscience.
Oh. Yeah, so it took 2 months for him to feel differently about it.
Much better. And then it was the girl walking around, you know, an 18-year-old girl, like looking at herself in the mirror going, I have so much more confidence now.
Sure.
And really all it was great because it was just, it's all about boobs.
All about boobs, and who doesn't like boobs?
And, you know, they get away with it because it's news.
That's right,
you know,
right.
Like they're showing pictures, and they're showing pictures of flat-chested chicks and chicks with big boobs, and they're saying that there's lots of girls that have the surgery done because their boobs are too big.
What they ought to do is just have a guy come on and go, coming up, and just raise his eyebrows like that and go, boom!
And if ever there was a segment for Holly Morris, I mean, put her on the table.
Uh-huh. She's not bad looking. She's got a nice figure. I saw her the other day. She had a big sweater with an H on it.
She loves dressing like Laverne and Shirley.
She looks kind of okay. She was wearing
plaid pants.
She needs some boobies.
Yeah, I was looking closely.
She needs some boobies and she needs some downers. Hey, listen, way too much here on Holly Moore. We've got to go. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode.
Very good.
Oh, stand by.
Let's see if Jay Severin shows up for work tonight.
We'll see you tomorrow. Good day to you,
good
sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
All right, and you. What?
Never mind.
Never mind.
No, the number four.
All right, the Four Seasons of Broadcasting.
Oh, very good. Thanks, bye.
Till we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.